Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Episode 491. Me and Austin in the studio this morning, I guess.
What's up, buddy?
Dude, we got a lot of content to get through. I don't want to say get through, but we have a library of unreleased content right now.
Yeah, I think your timing with leaving your full-time gig and starting here is good timing. We've got a whole board full of stuff we need to check off.
There's a whiteboard for everyone wondering. So some of these are going to be delayed, but it's because we're going to be traveling and do shows to hopefully hang out with some of you guys. I totaled it up. I think there's 22 episodes and video piled up. So we got our work cut out for us, but
it looks like a lot of work sitting there.
Yeah. Anything that has a blue check mark by it is done.
We got a lot of work,
but not a lot done, but we've been gone. We just got back from ATA. It was great to see some of you guys out there. Very positive vibes. I felt like there, Chase Ralston from Redwine Marketing, a big shout out to him. He let us kind of podcast in the Redwine Marketing room and just take that over. But he did a really cool video in his social kind of addressing, like, if there's any rumors, I was actually here. This was what the deal. He gave, like, statistics on attendance. Made a good point, too. I didn't really realize it there. He's like, there wasn't the Sparkle Gene, like, douchebags all over ATA show like there normally is.
Yeah, you didn't see that.
It was, like, people that were there for the true positivity and progression of the business of archery and hunting and what it is. And, you know, you can hate the industry. It's easy to dog on it. There's a lot of bad. But I think there's a line, you know, when it comes to calling out, like, bullshit influencers and bullshit people and then trashing what the industry is. And the reality is, if there is no industry, there is no hunting.
Exactly.
So I think some social media people, there's some out there. There's some out there are doing good by calling out the bullshit. But we just have to watch that line where it becomes, at what point are we just trashing hunting in general and the people that basically fund what it is and put on a good look or whatever it may be in the industry? You know, I think we got to be careful with that sometimes.
Yeah. Constant negativity sucks.
It does suck. It sucks bad. And I'm about burnout on it. But anyway, it was good time. Got to hang out with some good people. We recorded some super fun podcasts, talked about some new products, and just got to meet up with some friends and had fun.
Yeah. ATA was badass. Bunch of new products coming out that we're pretty psyched about, too.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll get into that. That's going to be in the pile of episodes coming in. So heads up, when we do our intros for the ATA, it might be one very similar intro for most of the ATA episodes. Because I think what we're going to do is just rapid blast those so it's relevant to about the time ATA launched. You know, get them. We're going to get those probably pushed out in the next couple of weeks. So look for just a blast of ATA episodes. I don't really like to stretch those out too long throughout the year. I feel it's more important to get them out as close to the beginning of the year when the show is. So just if you see that coming through, you know what's up. But speaking of shows, we will be in Lincoln, Nebraska this coming weekend. If you're listening to this episode in real time, the Nebraska Big Game and Deer Expo or Outdoor Expo, we're booth 442. We'll be hanging out with the Buckstorm boys. They'll be there, and we'll be with our guys from the Whitetail Adrenaline crew. So if you're going to be in Lincoln, Nebraska, come hang out with us. See us at the show. See us at a bar. Where else could they see us? The Engine House?
The Engine House. That's the part I'm the most jealous about. I'm going to miss out on the Engine House.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to go.
You guys will hold down the fort.
Yeah, we'll get the best Eggs Benedict in the universe and having a good time. So, yeah, come see us. Nebraska, Big Game Expo. And we are giving away. So we had some people get mad at us last year because we didn't do a good enough job of explaining. We are giving away an Elite Envision at the trade shows. You'll come by if you show us you're subscribed. That's a one entry. If for every $10 you spend with our merch, that's another entry. So if you buy a hat for $20 and you subscribed, there's three entries.
I am.
So you can do what you want. So if you support us by buying our merch, two entries, shirt and hat, that's two entries. So you could win a bow and Leupold Optics through and a set of 10 by four. Is saying a set of binos accurate? They sent a pair of binos.
Pair of binos.
Or a pair.
Yeah.
A pair. 10 by 42s and some performance eyewear.
So we're giving away a bow at each show.
We're giving away a bow. So what it'll be, you enter in, and then at the end of the show, at the end of our show circuit, we will draw a winner.
Nice.
But what we're going to do is as we go on, we're going to talk to more partners and they'll pile in. So you could win a bow. You could win a set of Leupold Optics. And we're working on some other giveaways. We're going to do some merch stuff with the podcast. As we go on, we're going to compile. So the chances, as the shows go on, the chances of you winning something will be a lot greater.
Sounds like a good deal to me.
Yeah, pretty cool. And I think that's all for announcements for right now. Let's get to the biz. Won't burn you guys out with this. The podcast is presented by Elite Archery. Code WCB there. Hopefully, you don't even have to use the code. You just win a bow. Cause you came and saw us at a trade show and had a beer with us. That's winning twice right there. Big Time, Scent Crusher, Old Barn Taxidermy, Camo Fire. I've learned that a lot of people in the Midwest are unfamiliar with Camo Fire. It's a website that basically recycles deals. There's like a time limit. And I mean, sometimes you see stuff that's like 60% off on there, but there's like a time clock on it before the deal expires. That's where Doug always says, delete your browser history. Leupold Optics, of course, everybody's familiar with Leupold. Awesome people. But it was cool. They threw in too, like, hey, yeah, we want to do a giveaway as well for you guys.
It's very cool.
Yeah. HHA USA. And so, yeah, man, super thankful. Spy Point Trail Cams, there's some exciting stuff from them coming. We have an episode with Spy Point. I learned a lot about trail cams. I'm excited for that episode to get out. So, yeah, podcast, full blast. Here we go, 2022. And we start another episode for 22 with the old man Bucks, Mark Reif and Gene Miller, two of our good buddies. They're really not that old.
They're about as OG as it gets with the working class crew. They've been around since the beginning.
Since basically before we were a podcast.
Longer than I have been around.
Yeah. Mark, I was interning taxidermy with Mark when I was laid off from my other job. And I was like, hey, I think I'm going to start a podcast. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? And I'm like, yeah, cool. I'm going to start one. And
you're old, you wouldn't know.
Yeah, you're old head. And then Gino was like, he came to the very first bow shoot that we had, and there was like 12 people. He's been, I mean, just full blast, full throttle supporter for every episode. I think he's listened to every episode, I know he will if he hasn't.
He listens to him in order, so he won't get out of order on an episode. He's like 10 or 15 behind right now, but he will not skip ahead on an episode.
Yeah, which I love. I think it's cool. But two of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. I'm glad to have them be a part of my life and be supporters of this podcast. So they're not that old. We just call them.
They're older than us, so yeah. That's what we say. But
they're not that old, dudes. But they're for sure dusty. So you may make of that what you will. Anyway, enough of the rambling. Thanks for being here. Thanks for the support. And here we go.
Run, Chase Rolson with Rubline Marketing.
This is Jeff Lindsay.
This is Michael Pitt.
Hey, everybody. It's John Dudley from Knock On TV.
Hey, guys. This is Jared Scheffler from Whitetail Adrenaline.
Hi, I'm Taylor Drury from Drury Outdoors.
Hey, this is Nick Munt from Bone Collector.
Hey, this is Melissa Bachman.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
Working Class Bow Hunter.
You're listening to the Working Class Bow Hunter. That's right. This is a podcast for Billy Joe Lunchbucket, the working man, just like me and you. My name's Travis T. Bone Turner from The Bone Collector. Thank you for tuning in.
Nobody pushes the envelope like Working Class Bow Hunter.
It's really, really not that good.
Working Class Bow Hunter Podcast. The podcast table has never been so dusty. And what I mean by dusty is there's two really old dudes here at the studio. Mark Reif and Gene Miller. What's up, guys?
Mountain. Hi, guys.
How's it going?
Some dusty old farts.
The old mature buck's going downhill.
You'll get there one day. I guarantee it.
Yeah, but you guys are way ahead of us. So until then, we can always make fun
That's true. That's
a
good point. Are you guys on your downhill now?
Yeah, we got Roman noses.
I'm just in my prime.
Look at our gray hair.
Yeah.
Gray muzzle.
You guys are looking real post-rut.
Yeah.
Pretty worn out.
AKA like shit.
Except we didn't lose the weight portion.
I'm into the grazing part.
Yeah. The grazing part. Greener pastures. I think that's an early phase.
Yeah.
For referencing Trey. Kurt Geyer in the house.
Doug Schmidt.
Eric Hammond.
Man, it's good to see. We're kidding around, obviously. You guys aren't that old. It's funny. But it's good to see you guys. This is the first time you've recorded in this new studio.
In the new studio, yeah.
You guys have both done a lot of work on the studio, both you have in your own.
And thank you for that.
Thank you big time.
Yeah. Thank you for being part of it.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's cool, man. It's good to have you guys here. Like, we get a lot of requests to get the old man's back on. Money bags.
Well, he had to drop off a briefcase of money too. So.
Yeah.
While he was here, he's like, "I'll just record while I'm here."
It was payment time.
Yeah. I'm gonna ask him to adopt me, so he's supporting me now.
Yeah,
it's kind of a good thing we got going on. Just knowing Mark, you know, we don't really do much for him. We just know him. So
glad to be a part.
Do your share.
I'm sort of helpful.
We're
the unsung hero.
We're a tax claim.
Yeah.
We're just a tax write-off for Mark.
Yeah. Mark claims eight when he does his W.
I need all your social security numbers before I leave.
Dang.
Here's another 1020.
If you fill out a new W-2, it's like no one else can claim me on their taxes or whatever. I make sure to check that correctly so Mark can claim me on his taxes.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
Yeah. So it's working out real good for us.
Helps a retirement plan.
How else do you think we bought this building?
You're my sugar daddy.
Yeah.
Sugar daddy Mark Reif. Sugar daddy Gene and money bags Mark Reif. I like that. It's got a ring to it. What's up, fellas, besides being old?
Man.
It's nothing, man. Loving life. Having
Gino,
another fun season. And
I don't know if you want to make an announcement, but there's a big deal going on right now. You not want to say it on there?
Oh, yeah, I don't care. I mean, it's going to get out there eventually. I don't share anything on Facebook or nothing, but...
You're pregnant?
I am pregnant.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to be a bazillionaire if that's actually true, because I'll be the first. Well, I can identify as pregnant now, right?
You can
do whatever I want. But
Gene's the first transgender man to actually biologically get pregnant.
Yep. I can claim it. Follow the science. Anyways, I'm walking away from my job at manufacturing. I'm going to start my own endeavors and stuff. And
it's awesome, man.
And, making a jump.
Congrats.
I need to do something for me, and part of this was just some of my previous veteran past and stuff that kind of led to it, and my endeavor of PTSD and loving bees. So I'm going to get into beekeeping. And
I love it.
Some people, you know, it's like livestock, so there's a lot to learn about it. And but I found something I just fully love and just passionate about, other than bow hunting.
Yeah.
I've never found anything just captured my attention like this. So.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
So,
congrats, buddy.
We're going to retire from that. And
thanks for your service also.
Thank you, guys.
Congrats and thank you. Yep.
And thanks for being great patriots. I mean, you guys, full support. So
we try.
You're awesome patriots.
That's a great segue to the veteran shout-out. And Doug is the veteran shout-out man here at Working Class Bow Hunter.
Which is brought to you by Operation HHA USA. You can check them out at HHAUSA.org. And Gene's actually going to do this one.
By the way, we ought to get the WCB crew up and do one of the HHA USA shoots. We meant to do it this summer and we didn't.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
We should do it as a crew.
And, you know, that's something I keep wanting to do each summer. And, time flies and I say, I'm going to do it. And it sneaks up and I don't. And
you know what we'll do? We'll schedule it for midsummer and we'll go.
Do it, right?
Yep. So, just pick the weekend.
Yeah. I'll go as a family.
Yeah. and have a blast, you know, and a great cause. Everything about them.
For sure.
100%.
You have a veteran shout-out for us, Gino?
I'll give a veteran shout-out to my buddy Tracy Dobbins. He's a combat medic friend of mine. It's an HHC 3rd 504 paratrooper. Fellow guy that likes to jump out of planes and get paid. So he's a disabled vet now, and it gets a little harder to get around in the woods, but he's getting out there, and he's killing giants, man. He sends me pictures every now and then, and likes to brag on me because I call little baby giants, and you know, I'm building my way up. But he's got some neat ground out there, and they got, you know, the black bear and a bad habit of that black bear out there. Really, they don't get to hunt much of. So I don't really understand it.
Where's he at?
West Virginia.
He's out
in West Virginia. So yep, Tracy Dobbins, paratrooper, and I thank him for his service. So he's still out there hunting and getting it. So
awesome.
One of the other old guys.
Yeah. Love it.
Thank you for your service, Tracy.
Yeah, thanks
for your service, buddy.
Appreciate you. Cool. That was fun. I always like the in-house veteran shout-outs are fun.
Yeah.
But if you want to submit a veteran, workingclassbowhunter.com, and we have underneath contact tab, there's veteran shout-out form. Help us out. Help Doug out with his Hooked on Phoenix.
Yeah.
Straight to me.
Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Some tough words out there.
Spell it out. Spell it out.
Doug's got to clap it out sometimes.
Yeah. So right now, we're filming this podcast. Hopefully all that works out. I always say, like, hopefully it comes out. It's just because it's like a time frame thing, if like we can get it out.
Right.
Right now on the studio table, there is Mark's buck, Gene's buck, Doug's buck, Eric's buck, and my buck. How many? I mean, that's a lot of antler on the table at one time. So it's been a great season for all of us, boys.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Feeling still getting after it.
I can smell the paper of tags just being punched.
Yeah,
just KO and tags.
I was really getting sick of tag soup. You know, yeah, it gets old after a couple years.
Yeah, tried something different.
Yeah, I tried something different this year.
You only feed your family paper for so long before they start doubting you as a man.
Yep.
I'm going to open this box of Linen Kugels here because I'm an asshole.
And is it cold? Is it cold?
Yeah, it's cold.
I'll give you one.
It's one of them Brewology packs. Don't mind me.
Sick.
Sorry, bro. Guys.
Kind of roulette. Reach in and grab. See what you get.
Would you like a honey Weiss, a berry Weiss, a dark lager, or a Snowdrift Vanilla Porter?
Ooh. I'll try the Snowdrift.
Of course you would. There you go. Mark, what can I get you?
Probably none, because I have no idea what either one, any of them.
Would you like to try one? You're not a drinker. You want one.
I like the Berry Wise.
Yeah, Berry. Yeah.
Let me have Berry Wise? That's a safe bet.
I'll try the Berry, yeah.
Give me the Honey Wise.
Thank you, sir.
I took you for a berry guy.
Gene?
Pinky out.
I'm not. Are they twist off?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm going to go berry with you.
Look at me, like I'm a pro or something.
Hey.
I'm trying to think of the last alcoholic beverage I've actually had.
I think the last time I seen you drink, we were at a trade show and you had like one Captain and Coke.
ATA.
Yeah, yeah.
It was ATA,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's because you had a VIP badge on. You felt special and it was probably free.
Mark would be going oil here shortly.
Mark slept for like 26 hours day.
Were you hungover?
You guys keep me out too long. I'm an old dude.
we had to make sure you're still alive.
You kept us up all night.
Well, that's the morning. Party.
Yeah, he didn't tell you about the 48 hours kept you up prior. Yeah. That's why he slept 26. Right. Yeah. Party animal.
That's our bad.
So who killed first this year? Was it Gino or Mark?
Mine was November 15th.
Mine was the 13th. So
Dang.
2 days away.
Yeah, the old guys.
So Mark was first.
Oh, man.
Mark, you've been killing it, man.
Been trying, dude. I feel like
ever since you met us, you've been killing deer.
Well, yeah, I got, yeah. Man, you guys, I should have just bought the head a long time ago. But, no, I just, getting that property made a big difference. It's not big. It's only 20 acres, real small. But
it's yours.
It's mine. It's in the right place. So
right.
If I sit there long enough, you know, they'll come. So,
yeah.
Yeah, just kind of.
But go back, though, because episode 183.
Two.
Was it 182 and you killed the 183?
No.
Nope, 182.
Oh, that's how it lined up. I thought we were like an inch off or a number off.
No, just 2/8.
But you killed that on like a really small piece of property that you don't own.
Right. Just a little sliver behind my house. The farmer lets me hunt it. Might be 10 acres, but it's just 50 yards wide at the most.
You're playing like the odds game there, right?
They just cruise that Green River Dike. Yep.
So you're just east waiting for something to walk by, pretty much.
That's all I can do.
Yeah. But I feel like since you killed that deer, you've just been piling them on.
Well, yeah, I did kill another one in 19 off that property, too. nice 9-pointer, almost 150. And then that same year, which was 19, I got my first buck on my property that I bought. Yeah. So that kind of, I doubled that year.
That was the famous
crazy blood trail.
County Road blood trail, right?
Hollywood, yep.
Slick Trick shared that.
Yep.
Multiple sure times.
Yep.
For people who don't know, would have seen that, they would have freaked.
All right. God forbid we posted on our social media and watch people lose their minds.
Oh, yeah.
But
it was an awesome trail.
For people who don't know what we're talking about, Mark shot this buck and he sent a video of him like walking, and this buck ran up on the county road, which is white gravel. Yep. And it's just like, you know, on the old Rage commercials when Chuck Adams comes out of nowhere, he's like, it's like throwing an axe through an animal. Yep. That's what it was.
Yeah.
It's like, it was as wide as this table, as long as it's across the road.
Just, yeah.
Just take an oil can full of blood and just walk across the gravel road and just turn it straight upside down and it stopped walk.
That was a Raptor trick, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Smoked the meat and go nowhere.
It stopped a neighbor, didn't it?
Oh, what are you
doing? Driving down the road.
A couple old country boys driving down, and they saw me and they're like, yeah, we saw somebody got one. Yeah, sure did.
Nice, man.
Yep, blood bath across the gravel.
Well, so, see you later.
Yep.
Chuck's a beer can.
No, last year I kind of struggled. I actually pulled the first ever and hit one in the shoulder, and it broke off right at the base.
For the first time ever?
First time I've ever done that in my life, yep.
No so kidding.
I experienced what that was like. No fun. So, last year was a little bit tough, but we've been working on the property. You know, I got a little mini excavator out there, but made my food plot better and found three sheds last year, the first three sheds I ever found on my property on the food plot. And so every year we're just, me and my dad are trying to do everything we can to make it a little better, and it's making paying off.
Little improvements here and there.
Yep. There's big deer out there, but, you know, there's not a lot of bouncing around because it's just gnarly hills and ravines, and it's wind swirls everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I got my blind down in the bottom on the creek, because that's where they travel right along the creek.
Oh, we know.
Yeah,
we're out there freezing our asses off, and Mark says it's a Snapchat with his little buddy heater in there.
Yeah. Nice little suite in the air with a buddy heater and vending machine and TV. Yeah,
he's knitting.
Yep. Eating little Debbie's and no gloves, no jacket, just a hoodie.
Got like, zoos and wham wham.
Got his socks off, lotioning up his bunions.
Yeah, it's funny, though. Actually, I thought, you know, oh, man, I'm going to love hunting out of it. Mm. Actually, I don't.
It's tough.
I actually hate hunting out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a muddy, why? It's a sweet blind, it is, because it's just not the same as being out on a tree.
I can
just look around and see everything. This thing, I'm constantly spinning, you know, all the time in my chair. Pivot, look out this window, look over there, move over there, you know.
And it's really not like, you can catch stuff out of the side, like out of your side view, but you can't at the same time.
Yeah, I agree. The peripheral just doesn't work the same when you're trying to find a window to line your eyes.
Do you think a lot of it's like mental mindset? Is like you don't feel stealthy?
No, because I actually feel more stealthy. I can move around and get away with a lot more.
He's in there dancing. He's got a disco globe in there.
He's got a little ball up there going and everything.
He's actually has his pants off.
Yeah. Got to put my food down, my drink down.
Right.
Yeah. That's half the battle. I think that's what I think is challenging.
It's a whole thing.
Hard to kill a buck with your dick out.
Yeah.
You know, your pants on.
Be hanging out, put your phone down, get off your phone game, you know.
We've all been there.
It's opening the window and trying to guess where they're at.
He's got one of them hot dog rollers in there from the gas station.
Yeah, that's the hardest part is the window deal because
right
now you got to get your bow and try to open a window and get your chair spun the right way. And
right.
You know, or stand make sure up you're, and get it. Yeah.
That'd be stressful. The window thing, I think, would be. Cause
I wouldn't like that.
I feel like a box blind would like encourage you to hunt more questionable winds.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're like, oh, I'll get away with it. And then you gotta let the window down.
Colder.
Yep.
Colder weather.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I want one. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, I think with that wind and stuff, and they're swirling and they're smelling you and stuff, they're not finding you. You're really concealed too, so I think that's where your concealed part comes in. But now, you know, I don't know.
It definitely makes a difference. I do like hunting out of it because, you know, I can go. I truly can go on any wind as long as my entry's, you know, good. And the thing is, I've got it 60 yards right off the gravel road. So to go to either one of my stands on that property, you may walk on 60 yards going down to the muddy right off of the road, and then up top it's just like 80 yards into a ladder stand and the wind blows right out to the to the other road. So
yeah, yeah.
I don't go on, I don't step on any of my property. I walk all the way around on the roads to get to the other spot.
Smart.
So I never step foot on my ground.
Needs an e-bike.
Unless.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I need an e-bike because that hill is a son of a bitch.
I mean, hey, you're getting a little older.
Yeah, trust me. I'm
even 2 years
and
ago, we put that thing up there. We talked about that, you know, even get the mountain bike or something, ride down there, stash it. And,
I definitely
you know, what's instead the, of cutting through that ridge.
Maybe you guys don't know, but what's the life expectancy on like a ground blind like that? Like a $3,000 blind.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I would think that the outside would be fine. The only thing I looked at when I was first, you know, installing it or putting it up was there's treated plywood on the bottom.
Oh, really?
So maybe put another layer and screw it on there and then, or seal it somehow, you know, yeah, with yeah. Some kind of sealer.
It shouldn't
in the
get too nasty if it's on the bottom.
But it's on the bottom, so you're basically just talking outdoor moisture that might absorb into it over time once the green treat, you know, dries out.
Put some roofing tar on there.
So yeah, I'm gonna do something.
Yeah, but the wall structure and the ceiling and stuff. I mean, they're pretty sound. I think some of them are metal and like styrofoam insulated.
A lot of them are like a molded. It's like a cooler type.
It's probably an 1/8 inch thick or maybe a little more vinyl sheet on the outside.
So, I mean, so yeah, 10-15 years, it should be fine, right?
Yeah, it's pretty much waterproof. And I've even gone around and done more. I cut the windows out of two sides of it and put bigger windows in that are sliders because the single pane glass always fogs up on you, whether you got a heater or not. And it flat out annoys the crap out of you.
Mm-hmm.
So I put double pane sliders in that have argon gas in between the windows. Mm. So it doesn't, it's just like your house window. It doesn't fog up.
Is that a kit that they make or is that something you did?
No, I just got pissed and I cut the hole, cut holes in the wall and took the old windows out.
He was like bamming back in the day and took a sawzall to a Lambo, you know?
Yeah. I've had enough. Yeah. I've had enough of this. So basically the first year I sat there with the squeegee in my hand all day long, every 10 minutes.
Cause I watched
the squeegee in the windows. Oh, dude, I was so pissed. I didn't even want to climb into the thing ever again.
I sat in there with the one time. We were both, I mean, and it is. It was fogging up. We were trying to figure out any which way to crack windows, get air vent, squeegee, but we're both in there, squeegee, trying to look around. We're squeegeeing more. We were hunting.
Yeah. It's a good conversation because I don't know if we've ever like broke down like truly using a box blind, the good and the bad.
Right. And I wonder if, do those companies make one with those windows in it now?
Yeah, sure. They have to.
I've looked, but I haven't seen, I haven't looked recently to, purchase something, but there's companies that make blind windows, but I couldn't find any that
because that's a good question. Good. Like, when you're looking at a blind, you don't think to ask, hey, do these windows fog up?
Yeah, exactly.
You're asking all the normal shit. Does it leak water?
I don't know if anybody else that uses like a redneck or mine's a muddy, but a redneck or anything, if they're plastic windows.
I thought you could do an option. You could pick like the nice windows or poly type.
It's possible now, but not in mine.
We'll have to ask Ross because I know he hunts out of a couple of them.
Yeah. Ross has a redneck.
I haven't heard him really complain about
it. Austin has a redneck. I've never heard them bitch about it.
I haven't really either. And that's maybe they don't use a heater, but even in mine, it's sealed up so tight that when I'm just in there breathing and my body heat, it still fogs them.
Hey, you forget Mark's got a, 80,000 BT.
Yeah.
Heater in there. Yeah. That 100-pound tank underneath.
Yeah. There's a big ass fucking Linux furnace on the ground underneath the thing.
It's like a sauna in there.
Fucking smokestack coming out of it.
I'm in my Speedo.
Got a wood burning stove in the fucking
thing.
Yours
got the vents? I can't remember. No. There's no vent.
I even went around and sealed it up even more. I caulked the outside of the windows. I've used expanding foam around the windows after I put the new windows in. Mm. I tinted the whole bottom half of every window so I can get away with a whole lot more movement because the bigger windows, it made me feel like I was wide open, dude. Yeah, so I mean.
Call your tent guy and ask him to do that. Hey, can you come out of the woods with me?
Yeah. Well, so, at the Nebraska show in Lincoln, that's always like the second weekend in January. Remember all the box blinds I have at that show? Mm-hmm. And I was in the market. I wanted to buy one. I seen some of the hard-sided, they're hard sided, but then there was like semi soft shell type blinds. Mm-hmm. And I like walked in all of them, but it's a big purchase because they're $3,000 to $5,000.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And you just don't want to buy one and be like, ah, man, I spent $5,000 and I don't like this one detail that I never would have thought about until I used it.
Right.
Exactly.
So that's what I'm so scared to I want to buy one. I want to buy one for my kids. Right. I want to buy one for late season hunting. I want to buy one just for times you just, sometimes you're just not feeling it.
Yeah.
You just want to be comfortable. Right.
And that's the thing too. Like, that would be nice to like, just get my wife to come out to the, to the blind with me, you know, just to come hang out. Cause now, I mean, it could be 70 degrees out and she's got a hoodie on and
And you can bang her out there and it wouldn't matter cause you're in the box blind.
Fogging up the windows, you know.
You're still out there having fun.
Make sure you get them argon.
Argon windows. There
you go. Not to worry about it.
Yeah. I mean, it is amazing too. And on the other hand, like I said, I don't like it. I don't like to have to get the window open and get the shot off that way. And I'd rather be outside old school hanging on a tree, but it's amazing when it's raining, when it's super windy, and nobody wants to go or it's miserable. Yeah, you can just go. Wind, I just go. You know, so it is. It is awesome. And I've had people in the neighborhood that, you know, see it and they see where it's at and they're like, "Oh yeah, everybody's seen that blind. Oh, big deer won't come by that." Want to bet?
Oh crap!
Want to bet?
Yeah, you just you're right. Never seen that.
Exactly.
I actually don't have any deer on my property.
Exactly. And I That's the neighbor. Mm-hmm. So
and none.
Keep on believing that.
Exactly. Yep.
So do this for me here, because I'm just curious, because you gave us like the good and the bad, or what? Not really bad, but annoyances. Scale 1 to 10. Where do you put your box blind?
I'd probably put it at like probably an 8.
It's pretty good.
Oh, that's
If you rated a woman at an 8, smoke show.
My blind, my blind is hot, but it's just not over the top.
She's not like...
You could do a few things to make them better. And if you're somewhat handy, you can. So
sometimes you got to put some bolt on, windows on, you know.
And if you want to hire me, I'll come cut windows in your walls. But no, I mean, it's definitely... I mean, when you hear the story about, you know, how I opened the window and had to do it and all that, I mean, it'll make more sense, but
Interrupt your story, but no, I just thought that was interesting. I never really got in detail on that, you know?
So basically I usually hunt down there by the creek. Like I said, me and my dad did a bunch of food plot work up on the ridge, but he likes going up on the ridge. He's not comfortable with the blind. It's a 30 yard shot usually over to the creek. I mean, they can come in anywhere. It could be a 5 yard shot really, but the main trail the big bucks seem to take is across the creek at 30 yards.
Mm-hmm.
So it, you know, the blind is there in a pinch point where main trails come through east and west and down from the food plot off of the ridge. So, but I don't know. I love to hunt the food plot, but I just have to be down there where the creek is. Cause I know when bucks are cruising, they'll just rip through there and they won't even go check that food plot. So for me, late season, I'll go up to the food plot when they're, you know, looking for the fall plot. So long story short, I guess the season actually for me started out kind of scary and bad, because as I was walking down, well, early season, I only had one buck that I thought would be a shooter, maybe 160 nine pointer. So I was pretty disappointed. Yeah. He's a stud, but usually out there I'll get 3 or 4, you know, good ones that actually come through once in a while. But so going into season, I'm like, man, I really don't have anything, but I know they're out there, so I'll just have to wait. Well, then it got going like second week, third week of October, and then I got 3 nice ones in the same, you know, card pull. So I was like, oh, okay, there's a 10, there's a 9, and there's one I call stickers. It's a big 9, kind of looks like your buck from this year, but he's got 3 or 4 stickers off his G2s and stuff. So I'm like, all right, here we go, got something. So anyway, I had to work second shift for like 3 months, 10s, and so I didn't get to hunt at all in October, really.
Yeah.
And I purposely stay out in October anyway, just because, you know, there's that controversy, hunt October, don't. Well, I usually hunt the 3rd and 4th week, but since I was working, I kind of missed all the 3rd week, and I caught very...
Didn't you kill a buck last year, though, mid-October?
No, that's when I hit the one in the shoulder.
I thought one of your bucks in the last year or two was like mid-October.
Oh, yeah, 2 years ago. Yeah, behind my house, that 9-pointer was, early, October 12th.
That early?
Yeah, very first cold front we ever got that morning. We did a story on that one. That was the deer that had the big wound in its body from the year before. So, anyway, during... I got off work and took my vacation 2 weeks, you know, to go hunting all of November. So I start walking around and I start going down the road and I talk to the neighbor and he's like, oh, did you see the bones down there by where you walk in by your blind? And I'm like, no. He's like, oh yeah, there was a huge 10 pointer that got killed down there, hit by a car or something. I'm not sure.
And died on your ground?
Right. Yeah, right in the ditch, right when you step onto my property, I guess. Well, I looked around. I never saw the bones. I don't know. Maybe it was a couple weeks
that
guy saw, and the coyotes ran off with bones. I have no idea. I didn't see them. So anyway, I got bad news. There was a big 10 with triple brows hit down there, and ugh. I didn't have a picture that rang a bell, but, you know, sad to know there was a big buck, guy's a deer hunter. He, you know, so he's like, Mark, I'm telling you, it was freaking huge, dude. And I'm like, oh man. That scared me because I've been missing Buck Norris, my giant from last year since November 14th. I hadn't got a picture of him.
Mm-hmm.
So you're trying to stay positive and you're thinking
maybe he just moved off.
This place is full of bedding areas. The whole place left and right of me, east and west, is killer.
Right.
He could be anywhere, but it wasn't like him. He still comes through at night. So anyway, long story short, I didn't see him. No pictures of him again. And then one day when I got done hunting, I was up at my truck and the township guy came up and he pulled up in the road grader and he's like, hey, I've been meaning to get a hold of you. He's like, you looking for a big deer? I'm like, well, I got a giant that's here. Why? And he's like, well, I've been meaning to tell you, in August, right over there by that mailbox across the street, a monster got hit by a car. And I'm like, oh God. I'm like, would you recognize him if you saw him? And he's like, cause he's not a deer hunter at all.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I think so. So I showed him a picture of Buck Norris. He's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, I should have took a picture of my, I think that's him, but I'm not sure.
Oh no.
He said the state guy that showed up to, you know, that come to pick up roadkill. He said he's been doing it for 34 years and it's the biggest deer he's ever seen.
Really?
Oh shit. Yeah,
he picks up a lot.
Yeah, he picks up a lot.
You need to get a hold of that guy.
Yeah. So I drove home. I was sick. I'm like, you know,
if listeners remember, we had a debate on the podcast about what we thought Buck Norris would measure. Remember that?
Yep.
And this is the same buck we're talking about.
Yeah, same buck. And the same buck I've lost sleep overnight for 3 years over.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, I showed him the picture. Then I drove home and I started thinking about it on the way home. I need to get a hold of him and see if the guy maybe cut the rack off and has it at the machine shop somewhere.
Or even if he's a deer hunter, he probably has a picture of it.
Just for closure.
Can I at least put my hands on it and drool on it and cry and maybe offer you some money?
Yeah.
I wonder what they do with all those racks, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they have to destroy carcasses and stuff, but I think
they grind them down into powder and sell them to
dog food
powder for aphrodisiac or whatever the fuck they do. Yeah, right,
goes to Blue Chew.
Yeah.
Dang.
Hey, it's the old guy podcast. We know about that.
Oh, you're right.
Listen, Doug knows about it, too.
Doug. Great stuff. He's just busy. That's all.
Hey, some nights are rough.
Anyways.
Sorry, story short, I ended up the next time I saw the township guy, well, I went hunting for like 14 days straight, so I knew I was going to run into him.
Yeah.
So I asked him, I'm like, hey.
You should probably get that guy's number.
Yeah, I'm like, you know who picked it up? What's the guy's name? Or is there a county building somewhere that, you know, picks up roadkill? Can I, you know, I want to see it. I want to see if I can get a hold of the guy. So anyway, he says, well, to be honest with you, for some reason, the state guy didn't want anything to do with it. So he said it got to stinking, so I scooped it up with the tractor, and I took it down the gravel road and dumped it over there in the woods.
The whole buck?
Yeah. So I'm like, in my mind, where?
Right.
I'm going to go run and see. I know it's August, but maybe there's something left.
There's got to be at least a skull and everything.
Yeah, something. So he goes, well, after I asked him where, he's like, well, it's not there anymore. My son went down there 2 days afterwards to look at it, and somebody had already cut the head off it. I'm like, oh my God. You know, this deer I've been after for 3 years and completely obsessed with gets hit by a car and dumped in a ditch.
Right.
You know, yeah, just like, possibly. Oh,
just God. Disrespected.
Yeah.
Possibly.
So I was hoping.
We're chasing a ghost yet.
I was hoping.
Yeah, that's true. Way to be optimistic, Gino. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But listen, it's probably him.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I know. My dad tried that.
It's about 90% chance it was him.
Yeah. It was 98.99.
Yeah. Let's see. There's one dead ginormous monster 10 on the south side of my property and another giant 10 on the west side. One of them was him. So, yeah.
Right.
He gone.
That's
he
gone.
Yeah. Had to move on. But anyway, I got a picture of a nice 10 pointer on my food plot that I thought might be a 4-year-old. And then I got, like I said, stickers and the big 9. So I just sat 13 days straight. Not all day, every day, but I was out there morning, afternoon.
Yeah.
Almost right. every single day. And then the 13th, it was late afternoon, almost over with shooting time. And I hate afternoons, so I was getting pretty dejected. I just wanted
to. Why do you hate them?
Because I never kill anything on the afternoons. Always mornings.
Oh, come on. We're going to do it.
This is a great debate. I love afternoons. He loves mornings. I hate mornings.
We're going to do a tally at the end of this
podcast. I love mornings. Yeah. Okay. So if you actually study, or if you actually, there's been studies done that show that there's way more deer, way more bucks killed in the morning.
Yeah,
and that's a legit fact.
What were the studies from Black Hawk College? What the fuck?
It's a science.
Scott Community College.
Some intern wrote it.
So, but no, for me, it's my properties. They don't bet on me.
Yeah.
So I have to wait until pre-rut and rut when they start stretching their legs and moving during daylight.
Yeah.
If I go, they're bedded 300, 400, 500, 600 yards, quarter mile away from me. Mm-hmm. And they come to my food plot at night. But they're not on me in the afternoon before it's dark.
Gotcha, yeah.
I mean, I'll say it never happened because I have seen, you know.
Just doesn't happen very often.
Four or five big bucks. And this is the first real big buck I've killed. Well, nice buck. In an afternoon. So every single other one's a morning for me. So I hate afternoons because it gets, and not only that, it gets dark and you're like, you know, you got 15 minutes of good hunt and that's it. The last 15 minutes. Other people, other properties, yeah, they're going to come out at 4.
Especially in that blind because it gets darker in there faster.
Yeah, and it does. Yeah. And I'm in a nasty ravine and it gets darker faster. So, yeah. And that's
what... Your points are pretty valid. I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just what I've experienced over my ground for...
It's very property dependent on like what you have and what's there for food and travel and all that. So, it's just a fun generic debate.
Right. So, anyway, there's like 15 minutes of light left and... There's this tree that's bugging me out there that's got this branch. I'm like, I'm getting out. I don't care. I'm going to go snap that thing off so I can see where I want to see. And I'm out of here. I stand up. I start putting my stuff away. And as I'm doing it, I know I'm an idiot because the last 15 minutes are the only chance I got. So I'll put my grunt call away in the bag and then I'll look out the window.
You put it away aggressively.
Throw it down in there. Get in the bag. Wait for the morning.
Get in there.
This is after 13 days straight, keep in mind.
Yeah.
So
it's a grind, man.
You know, and come on, man. Some shooters got to come through. I'm passing, you know, pretty nice 2.5-year-olds, excuse me, and stuff like that. So
get the bag.
The frustration is wearing
on
me.
What about me?
Yeah. What about me? I'm crying. What about me? So long story short, again, during putting my stuff away, I happen to look out a window and I see a doe coming down. There's an old excavator trail. The property owner before me took an excavator down there. So it's like an old logging road.
Mm-hmm.
So my son named it Death Row. So I see a doe coming right at me on Death Row. And I'm like, oh, here we go. What do we got?
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, ah, crap, it's a doe. And I'm like, wait, does she have a fawn with her? You know, you're going through your mindsets of, and I'm like, oh, I don't see anything with her. And so she comes down the little slope right to the blind, walks right next to the blind, probably 2 yards, and then goes out the back door where I walk into the gravel road. So I watch her and I'm looking behind her. All right, no doe, no fawn, no little one. So I'm like, maybe there's a buck. And in my mind, I'm like, I sat here for 13 days. It's going to be a 6-pointer.
you get little Timmy coming out.
Yep. Yeah. Timmy comes in.
Yep. So here I am looking for a little baby white rack, you know?
Yeah.
And I see a nice buck and I'm like, ooh.
Ooh, daddy. Like,
there we go.
He might be good.
Make him Play-Doh snakes. Yeah. Make him Play-Doh snakes.
Okay. So, Mr. Negative, let's get ready here.
Negative.
After you already slammed your claw on your back.
Yeah. So good thing I hadn't locked all the windows yet.
Good thing you tinted them.
Yeah. Yeah, true. And it played out very well because, I mean, he couldn't have been any closer when it finally happened. But so I sit back down in my chair and I grab my bow and I open my window. And it's
his lazy boy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I had to kick back and put the footstool down.
Put the recliner back.
So,
shut off the roller dog machine.
She's out. Yeah, the shiatsu.
Yeah, yeah. Turn off your porn.
Yeah, right. So,
I'll just mute it.
Yeah, ain't got time to stop. Keep it.
Yeah. Doug's a pro. You need no sound, right?
Could've ain't got buck, time to clear my history.
Yeah, yeah.
Just mute it.
So,
It must be nice for Doug. He just minimizes his porn. He doesn't actually have to exit out.
Here, let me set the phone down real quick. Gotta shoot it.
Doug does not have to delete his browser history.
Oh, that's
probably
funny.
Got a not a lot for it, don't you?
Yeah. Sorry, Mark. The opportunity is just too good with your box blind.
You gotta roll with it when it comes. So, yeah, anyway, I grab the bow. I get turned around. I open the window, and I'm looking. And like I said, it's tinted windows. It's down in a ravine. I mean, steep, nasty. And then in a blind already, so it's getting dark. And I'm like, I can't tell if it's a shooter or not, but it's better than anything I've seen so far. And he's through the trees, so I can't see till he turns the corner, and then he comes down a slope, almost like a ramp, right at the blind. I mean, like, he'll be coming right at me if he follows her. And that's what he did. And so I drew back, and I'm aiming, and I'm looking, and I'm judging him, and I'm judging him, and I'm judging him, and I'm like, yeah, I think so. And then he got, I mean, right on top of me, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And so, I mean, I could see, like, probably 8 or 10 inch twos and threes. But
yeah.
That's and a wide enough deer and fairly good mass. So that's all I really judged.
Right.
Off.
Right. A lot of times you can judge is frame and then you go off
that's
frame.
That's exactly what happened. I'm like, yeah, 3 year old or better. Day 13, 15 minutes left.
It's time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm aiming out the window and it's a skinny window but tall. And I'm like feeling my right side of my bow up front by my front hand, like hitting something, and I can't get on him. And so I kind of slid back in my chair and I'm like, oh, there we go. I got off of whatever. And by this time he's on me. I mean,
oh, he's looking at you?
No, he's like on top of me.
Oh,
like,
gotcha. Close.
So I just went, meh, you know, cause I got to stop him. Now I made that decision. Now it's time to shoot. And he stopped 8 yards away from my blind, the base of the tower blind, and he's looking right up at me.
No shit.
And I'm like, oh, shit. I got a straight-on shot, and that's it.
Yeah.
But he's eight yards.
Oh, he's facing you.
He's
straight
facing
on.
Me. Looking
brisket at you.
Yes. And I've never done that ever, you know. And I know it's a super lethal shot if you do it right.
Aaron Blicey just did it on his buck.
Yeah.
Didn't buried it to the fletching right in the throat all down into the body cavity. Yep.
That's just exactly beautiful. What I did. My pin was rock solid, and I'm like, 8 yards, I've got this.
Yeah.
I executed it perfect, took my time, smoked them perfect. I wasn't in the neck, but I was about 3 inches above the brisket line.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And just off to the side 1 inch.
Yeah,
you know, so you don't hit vertebrae, you don't hit brisket. Because, you know, I mean, taxidermy, I know the anatomy pretty good.
For sure, yeah.
So he turns and whirls and runs away, and, you know, he goes only 50 yards up, back up death row, and he stops, and he's like, I see his tail's snow white the whole time, he's flagging the whole time, he's running away, and he stops up there, and I hear leaves, and I see him kind of go left and go right, and bam, I'm like, no freaking way, dude, did that just happen? I was about to leave and go break that freaking tree off. Get the hell out of here.
Mark's in there apologizing to his grunt call.
Yeah. So immediately,
I'm sorry, tree.
I didn't mean it. Daddy gets a little frustrated.
Yeah. I know. After watching Grumpier Old Men, I know what it's like now, dude. It legit happens, I swear. No, I just put a lot of pressure on myself to do well.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Been doing a long time and haven't killed a million big ones. Mm-hmm. So every single year I know that I've got maybe one single shot opportunity. If I have a great year, it might be two.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm talking 3 year olds and better. That's it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I got 20 acres, but I step on a quarter of an acre of it. I don't
Smart.
Go in to hunt deep because I can't. And I mean, I've got a couple of spots that are more aggressive that I sit all day during the rut, but I haven't owned it long enough to spend enough years there yet to actually have success there. I know eventually
to be like
I will.
Super calculated on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And usually the wind's wrong to go in there. So then I just got to go to the blind and it just happens, you know, but yeah, it's
the way your blind set up, I would just go to the blind every time.
I know, dude, that's what I do because I'm playing the percentages.
Right.
Because they're going to come through there.
But even at 20 acres, you know, you don't realize how pinned down you are to about an acre.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get in and where you want to be and, you know, where they're at and not.
For sure.
And repetitively do that and still have them come through, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's keep them in there while you can keep hunting it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
A lot of people ignore, oh, it's dark. I can do whatever I want when I walk in. No.
Exactly.
No, I've done that wrong. I used to think that.
So many, I've done that wrong so many years. I really didn't learn how to get good entrances and exits and, you know, a lot of this stuff until about the past 6 years. I think we shared some of that, but, you know, but even on the smaller tracks. A lot of people
think that. They just think, oh, what's the easiest route in there? I'm taking that.
Yeah.
Or I got the weekend and I'm going. Right. Yeah, you know, it didn't matter what the wind was. I just, I wanted to hunt, you know.
Yeah, for sure. A lot of it is, do you want to be consistent on good deer or not?
Yeah. Exactly. You know? It's the sacrifice worth the effort, because if I go in there and burn it up, you know, the bucks are cruising at night, you know, late October, early November. They're scouting around at night, and they're coming across all these hunters walking in and out their boot tracks. They start learning quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It's deer season,
and
we're going to become nocturnal. So if I'm the only property through this little stretch that nobody's boogering up the ground on, guess where the next level deer, 5 and 6 year olds, are going to go? Because
You're going to go over to old money bags.
Yeah,
and I got the Frank factor. We talk about it and stuff. And on that little property and stuff, it doesn't hold the bucks. The neighboring properties do, because Frank's kicking them around all the time. He's the landowner. He's always running. And
the skier?
Yeah, and cross-country skiing right in front of me.
It's a lot of great. I don't know if you know.
Frank's awesome. I love this guy. Frank
Like, let's not cross-country ski, you know?
Yeah.
The one Snapchat was so funny. He just goes by, and you're like, hi, Frank.
Hi, Frank.
I was in the 360 blind. He had no idea I was in there, and there comes Frank. I mean, literally. 3 feet in front of the blind cross country, and I just yelled out, "Hi, Frank!" And he's like, "Oh, he jumped!" Like, "Hi, Gene!" and kept skiing, you know, and didn't lose a beat. I'm like, oh,
it's about, "Hey, get a snowboard, huh?"
Yeah, on your way, bud.
You know, he's so awesome.
Hit the slopes,
Frank's. He's in his 80s, and
he's 80. All right, never mind.
Yeah, he's in his 80s and still runs marathons. Yeah, straight up, still runs marathons, cross country skis. Yep. He's got trails all through the woods there, It's 18 acres of what trees? Hedge trees. And nasty, gnarly. So you're really limited to the trails. And I've learned to place and moved stands to where I got. Same thing. I had to discipline myself with the Frank factor, for one. I got more stories with the Frank factor. I mean, even to how I got to dress sometimes going in the morning. If I'm going in the morning, I got to time it where I've learned to wear all my clothes that I don't normally would put on at there. Frank's still up at 3 a.m, I swear. He's already got the paper. He's waiting for me. You know, sun's coming up. I'm running late. I'm like, Frank, I really need to go. He's out there. Good morning. You know, we got to say hi and talk about the weather. It's coming up. I'm like, Frank, I need to get to the stand, bud.
You know? That's funny.
So I got the Frank factor. So I've learned how to dress on different stuff and then throw on a scent crusher suit without the tubes and stuff to protect myself driving there so I can get out and go and try to mitigate the Frank.
Hit the ground, Frank.
But.
I want to cap off this buck story quick.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And not that I'm rushing the story. Track. No, it's good. I think the Frank factor is hilarious. talk about going up to this buck, man, because that's the recovery is just as much of the story as shooting the deer.
Yeah. So, it was another just crazy blood trail when I got at him.
Same broadhead?
Yeah, a raptor trick. Yeah, it went right in the front of his heart and sliced a giant chunk of his heart off.
Oh, no kidding.
It just flapped over when I looked at it.
That's a shot, man.
It went right through all the arteries and everything. I mean, he went 50. It was 4 seconds. He went 50 yards on a full run and just boom, fell over within 4 to 5 seconds.
He was dead. And
he was dead when it
hit him. Dead. He was dead when he got to 20 yards.
Yeah. There's that shot's That's like one of the ones where like no one thinks about it. You know, there's a lot of deers where you're like, you could take that shot, but you're trying to wait for that deer to go broadside, and then they walk away, and you're like, hey, I didn't have a shot.
Johnny did it on that podcast, the jury, Working Class on Deercast, and the hunt footage is in there. But I don't feel like it's a good shot to preach.
Right.
No,
I agree.
Because there's a lot of irresponsible people that might be like, that's a good shot, I took it, but he was at 50.
Yep.
Right.
Like, 100%. No, not for you, sir.
Yep.
It's for guys who practice all summer long and have the confidence and know anatomy and know exit, aiming for your exit and shit like that. That's who this shot is for.
Exactly.
It's not for the guy who wants to cut corners.
There's narrow room for error.
That's why 30 years of hunting, and I've only done it once.
It's a 10-yard in.
And it was 8 yards.
Yeah, shot.
Point blank.
Aaron Blicey shot, same thing. Like, he showed us the footage, like, buried, shot the same way, big 170s buck.
Yep.
Kind of looked up their direction, and dude, the angle is steep. He buried that thing in from the throat right down into the chest. It just,
violent.
It's definitely deadly. And mm-hmm. yeah, like I said, I would only one time in my life. So
yeah.
Yeah, I started walking up the trail, and I'm like, oh, crap. Mm-hmm. No wonder he fell over. I mean, just like before, there's blood spraying. I mean, it was pumping right out the front.
Really?
And a lot of times in that front, if you're not right in that heart or jugular, or you don't get the arteries, you might not get as killer a blood trail.
Right.
But
right.
this one was just, I mean.
Did the arrow pass through?
No, it buried. And that's the bummer. Like, Gene's got his Papa Dave arrow here, but my arrow broke. And I could not find the back with Papa Dave part on it, and I still haven't found it. So we're going to do a search for that. But, yeah, I
that's a tribute to the woods right there, man.
Yeah, man.
When I shot my mule deer, that arrow disintegrated because my muley rolled down the mountain on top of it, and it's gone somewhere.
Oh, okay, so gotcha.
So I was meant to be.
He'll be out there forever now.
Yeah, so I made a new Papa Dave arrow, and killed three deer right after that. I killed all my doe, my buck, and then my second buck all with the same arrow.
Nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Nice. So, and then that last buck snapped it when he hit the outside shoulder and he snapped her off.
Tire that one.
Yeah. I never found the fletching. Actually, it's out there in the woods.
But, really?
Yeah.
I mean, some tough fast victory arrows.
It worked.
Yep.
But anyway,
so I follow this blood trail up and I know he's not going anywhere and I saw him fall. And so I get up to him and he's kind of buried in the hillside, his rack, and I can't see some of his tines. And I'm like, oh, maybe he's just like a spindly 3-year-old 8-pointer.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no. Did I misjudge him?
Oh, yeah. No.
And so I start looking more with my light, and I reach down and grab it, and I pull it out of the leaves and the weeds. And I'm like, oh, shit, no, okay. He's what I thought he was. Right, sweet, yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah.
Pick him up, Mark, because we are videoing this, and hopefully we get it cranked as soon as the audio launches, but he's a nice buck, dude.
Yeah, he's super good mass, real heavy.
Yeah.
Not super long on the main beams, but he's got good fours, and I don't know, I think he's four. He's got a busted brow right here, but he had so much pine rubbed in, it's kind of gotten wet and smashed down against the antlers now when I bleached it, but I mean, his bases, when I first looked at him, looked like this big because there was just pine junk hanging everywhere. And
awesome mass on him.
I call him my little double dropper. He's got a couple of sweet little drips.
Little drip.
Looks like they might have been something someday.
But little raindrop.
Mr. Drippy. That's what we'll call that one.
Little MC drip.
So what are you just euroing out all your bucks you've been killing?
Until I ever get around to mounting them, yeah.
Okay. Why don't you just mount them? You got to mount Eric's buck first.
I know, man. That's the one I'm working on. But that's why, because I got to get other stuff done first.
Yeah.
But
you
did
show me pictures of mine the other night.
Yeah. Yeah. I put some money work on the ear butt muscle detail. I mean, it's going to be insane. It'll be nice.
Oh, man.
It'll be nice.
You need to
real nice.
Well worth the wait.
You need to get all these other bucks. How many bucks you got of your own to mount now? You got your big giant one.
I got my big giant. I've got
the nine from the year after.
Nine with the wound. I've got Hollywood. I've got this deer. And I've got another one that's got like 18 scoreable points that I shot years ago.
Yeah, the shotgun buck. One.
Yeah, that's all broken up. I've been, every now and again when I have leftover epoxy from doing a job like Eric's earbuds or whatever, if I got a little bit left over, I'll go to my rack and I'll like put a little epoxy on it and fix the tines.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he's just so gnarly that he's got like six different little stickers broke off. It's big, but it's just a lot of them. And now that I've kind of got every one of them a little bit of tying on them now, he's like, oh yeah, that's what he should have.
He's gonna
like.
Be like, he's gonna be like a tree. Yeah, you can see the layers of epoxy over the years.
He's a 300 pointer
gum right here.
I know,
shot that,
Mark. I know you're a taxidermist, and everyone that knows all the old OG podcasts we've done with you knows about Mark's taxidermy. Why don't you take like half of them to Old Barn?
I can't. They're mine. I got to do them.
I get that. That's fair.
You know how crazy perfectionist I am.
You are. You're over the top.
Yep. If I do something that eventually I'm not 100% happy with, then I did it, so I have to live with it. If I send something somewhere and it comes back and I'm unhappy, I'm going to be double unhappy because I didn't do it myself, and that little flaw is going to
bust. Okay, that makes sense.
Pride in his own craftsmanship. Yeah,
I just want to see you mount him.
I know, and I will. I'm just being respectful and trying to get everybody else's stuff done first.
But once you get caught up, I want to see you just take, like, I'm not kidding,
Yeah.
We're going to make Mark stay in his house.
Yeah, lock in your basement.
Like, do them all in a month.
Yeah. I know. Just get them all done. Just rock them out.
I want to skip a briefcase to us and just take that money and just take them all.
There you go.
Pay yourself.
Well, what I kind of want to do is take my time and do a special mount with each different one, mm-hmm. and then take it to a taxidermy show and enter it into a competition.
There you go.
So each one of mine will eventually go to a show is what I'd like to do.
I like that.
Even though that's year after year after year, but I could still mount them all and then take them later.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
I think first thing first to get your giant mounted. Are you still planning on full mounting your giant?
Yeah, that's the plan. Yep.
Just got to do it.
Someday. He'll probably be the first one I do for sure.
I just don't want to see you die before you mount him.
I know. I think about it. Trust me.
Jesus.
I'll keep looking at it in the basement.
Hey, I'm not that freaking old.
For fuck's sake, dude.
Damn, Kurt.
I don't have any bot fly holes in me yet.
Not bee holes?
Just one.
I'm just trying to motivate.
Just one.
Fucking
so, yeah, I am getting it's getting to a point where it bugs me a little bit because I do in my shop. I got a bunch of big euros sitting there that
I mean, it's kind of cool seeing them euroed.
It is cool, pretty sweet.
Have them all hung next to each other?
Yeah, on the walls in the basement shop, where my shop is. So,
for people who don't know, if you're a newer listener, I used to get laid off every winter for my job, and I went to like a game head taxidermy school for just a shorter one. Joe Meter did one in Solon, Iowa, and I'm a measurer, and I measured a deer for a guy at Mark's shop. Didn't know Mark, met Mark. I don't know what really led in the conversation to us to keep talking, and then I wanted to intern when I got laid off to keep up on my taxidermy skills, so I pretty much interned with Mark for, it was a few months.
Yeah, yep.
When I first was laid off. I don't know if I did it the following year because just things got...
Yeah, that was right when I met you because I remember you going over to Mark's and doing that.
Yeah, working on stuff.
I think the next year you were starting the podcast because we talked about...
I think I started the
very
first year.
Beginnings of the podcast. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because you're like, hey... I'm thinking about starting a bow hunting podcast. And I was like, what's a podcast?
what's the internet?
What the hell are you talking about, kid?
Yeah,
right. Interweb stuff.
Well, so, Mark and I would work on dead shit and watch UFC fights all day.
Right? Yep. Yeah, so I had a customer that got a deer, and he wanted to have it scored. So he took the skull cap rack to you. Mm-hmm. He looked you up online.
On the Pope and Young's website. Yeah.
Yep. And then when he brought the rack back to me, he brought me some of your business cards. Mm-hmm. And he said, hey, this guy's an official scorer. He said he'd... interested in taxidermy, would you want somebody to come like apprentice underneath you? And I'm like, hell yeah, cool, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Someone to hang out with all day.
Yeah, so he's like, call him. So I called you, and you're like, yeah, when I get laid off, I'll come over.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how it all started. Yeah, so.
Kind of funny.
So, yeah.
So that rolled in fast to like
so
what it is
I,
now.
I basically gave him a quick, tape like, what we've done before. It's no Kurt Geyer score because I'm no measure, but I've seen you score enough deer that I should be real close.
Yeah, we measured a lot of deer together.
Yeah, and I got him at 151 5/8.
Hell yeah, right on.
And he's got like a 3-inch brow broke off. So if I made it as long as the other one when I did the math, so he'd be, if he wasn't broke, about 154.
Yeah.
But to me, he doesn't really look that big.
I feel like he looks a little bigger.
But
because his mass is a little bigger too. Because the mass.
The more you look at him, the more you dawns on you. Yeah, he could be definitely easier.
Hold him up again.
He's got real solid mass, and
dude, his mass is real good.
I mean, his
dude. I feel like he looks just as big as my buck. My buck's 160, almost 167.
Really.
My buck's got taller tines.
Yeah, he's got longer tines. My beams.
But I mean, hold this thing up.
My beams aren't super long. That kind of hurts him a little bit.
Through. Yeah.
It's not too far off.
Not too far.
No.
Just a little bit. Kurt's
is better.
Tines.
Right.
Yeah.
Twos and threes I got, but.
Yep.
Kurt's got quite a bit of junk too, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Junk helps.
Mark's got the four on the left.
Yeah. Your
side.
Buck's beaded really nice.
Yeah. He's got cool bead work, dude. That's why I think he's a 4-year old, just because.
Yeah.
The mass
a 3-year old. You don't see 3-year olds like
not
that.
Not like that, I don't think. Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah, that's a stud, dude. Chocolate.
Yeah, I'm happy. So I still got Tag, and I still got...
Did you know him at all, that deer?
I just got pictures of him. Like I said, I didn't have very good pictures. And then I did that one card pull and got three good bucks. I got him broadside walking right across my food plot about 30 yards in front of my camera.
Nice. How many days before you shot him?
Probably within, I would say a week, but that's probably not true because I sat for 13 days to get him. Yeah. So it would probably be more like
2 weeks?
Probably 2 solid weeks.
Daylight photo or?
No, night photo.
Yeah.
And I only had one picture of him. After I got killed him, I ended up doing a card pull like a couple of weeks later. Mm-hmm. And I did have another picture of him coming down off my food plot.
Mm.
But I don't have him in daylight at all.
Cool. Right time, right place.
15 minutes before dark.
That one doe, man. That doe.
Yep. And then, the only one that's daylighted me, well, early October, should have been up on the food plot the 24th. I could have killed stickers, but I was working. So, and then the nine pointer keeps coming. On Halloween, everybody knows it's great on Halloween.
Yeah.
Well, I had to leave and go trick or treating with my daughter. I got a little one.
Yeah.
So I stayed as long as I could. I was there till like 12:30, 12:45. I got out and left. And then when I checked my card a few weeks later, the nine pointer came through an hour and a half after I left.
Right. That always works, ain't it?
Yeah. Oh, dude.
He's just sitting there laughing.
And like two days after I shot this buck.
He'll be like candy.
He's like,
hey, bring me a Snickers, would you? Yeah.
You don't think anybody knows about you. And I know about you.
Yeah.
Blind sucker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lazy bitch.
So, yeah. What was it? So 2 days after I shot this buck, you know, I was still, you know, doing the cleanup of him. And, you know, after you get one, you know,
yeah,
you got things to do.
Spending time with him.
A little break. Yeah. Yeah, get to know him.
I had to take the meat and get it somewhere. So anyway, like 2 days later, I wasn't actually out there in the morning. I think I went that afternoon. And the nine pointer came through broad daylight, 7:30, right by my blind in the morning. Mm. He's done it twice to me now, so it's pretty much.
We going to try and get on late season?
Yeah. He better come to that food plot. So
awesome, dude. Well, congrats.
Thank you.
Yeah,
congrats, man.
Thank you. Yeah.
Gino, you've turned into quite the young yipper snapper.
Getting there.
Couple of years.
Yeah, I'm growing.
You're not old enough to say whippersnapper.
Whippersnapper.
Yipper snapper. I put my own millennial twist on it.
Damn.
We're dumb. Gino, you killed a good buck last year and you're following up again, man. You're forming into quite the young bow hunter, man.
Thank you. Yeah, I got my baby giant with me. I'm still hunting. I got some pretty monsters, but this guy was special to me. It really was.
Well, what I loved about it is, we have our group chat, right? So we're always all, it's called, for people who don't know, when I say the OGs, our group chat is called WCB OGs. It's just guys that have been really with us from the get-go.
Six years of it.
And you guys are both in it, and so we're always constantly like updating each other, trail cam pictures. It's the exclusive of the exclusive of what we do in our circle. So, you know, when Mark kills one, we get it, and everybody, you know, we get all the sneak peeks and the emotion and the group calls and shit like that.
Yeah,
so
it's kind of the first. I mean, for me, it's the first guys I contact. You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
We share everything. We laugh everything. We're watching each other's families grow. I mean, the whole community from the very beginning. So I mean, it's been a close knit group.
It's fun.
You know,
and it's been pretty. I mean, you know, some stragglers or some, you know, guys that fall off here and there, but just one or two.
Yeah.
The whole time it's been
you find your loyalty and you find the people that you have integrity and trust and build and say stuff and accountability, and that's all that means stuff to me, you know, and means stuff to you guys. And I think that's kind of how you build the circles and the community, and that's you know why you're where you're at right now, starting from a couple knuckleheads and some lawn chairs in a closet, you know, to look.
You know,
I mean,
it's weird how long that group has been around.
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of messages in there.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of fun stuff to go through there.
I wonder if you could, like, scroll back to very first message.
I hope not.
I have it all. I don't delete anything. I bet you money I have it all.
Yeah.
That's probably why my phone is running so slow.
You could scroll
I'm
for
opposite of Doug.
6 years.
Oh, yeah.
You could scroll for.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Because we made that like right away, didn't we?
I mean, I mean, pretty damn quick.
Yeah.
I mean, sometime in 2015, for sure.
Yeah.
I think, Mark, you were our first guest ever, episode 6.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
So
I started listening to episode 2. You know, I remember you already kind of got into how you met and stuff. And
I'll tell you how many years I've been hunting wrong. I mean, really just hunting wrong. And what I thought was hunting right, and how much I've actually learned the last 6 years through, you know, you guys and how we come together, what we share, everybody, and, you know, it just, I've grown that way. And I'm just now getting, I think, more into the depth of hunting bigger and mature bucks and seeing them and getting in that game than I ever was before. Right. And a lot of it had to do with, I mean, I had troubles. I'd get on a property for 1 year last, you know, and for no reasons or faults of mine, get kicked off and then reload, you know, or something happens and that property catches fire. I got all kinds of stories. We were reminiscing over years of just all the different places we've hunted and the troubles and the struggles. And
a lot of that's political, too. Yeah, it's like, you know, you kill a big buck there. Well, now mine, you know, my whatever distant relative,
my second cousin's,
everybody else moves in to try to kill the buck you already killed. There ain't nothing there, buddy. Right. You know,
hunting ghost.
He gone.
Hunting ghost. He did. But, you know, I've learned, and we've shared that all in that group and stuff, you know, and but kind of, I forgot kind of where I was alluding to. I get sidetracked.
Talk about how long you've been hunting a little bit and you're going into that.
Me, I've done 24 years. But, yeah, there's the last few years that, and this is the longest property I've been on, you know, first 3 years is really learning the Frank factor and how much to move around on it, funny. You know. And like I said, he runs a marathon, so he's got trails cut through there. So the property does, it holds the does, but it doesn't hold the bucks. They're always getting bumped around. I think they're bored, they're tired of getting bumped around. Mark's walked on it with me, and it's just, it's so thick, you don't have the opportunity. I get woods envy when I'm going down the road and I can look at woods and you can actually see through the woods.
Yeah.
What is this?
Hedges.
Yeah, I get a boner when I see that.
Hey, that looks nice.
Don't even need blue cheese.
Yeah, I drive around just to be woods envy.
You get timber wood.
So what I learned through it and the way the property runs, you know, I get timber wood.
That's some hard wood right there.
True wood.
It's that hard oak wood, baby. What's up?
That real wood.
Some real free hardwood.
Trying to think, that's the wrong button. Where's nope, not that one. That one right there. That's what I wanted. Okay. Had to find my button.
So I got to move, you know.
Hardwood, baby.
Hardwood and hedge balls.
Oh, my gosh. The
93 rock. They are rock hard.
106.9. So hard, it rocks hard, and it's hard rock.
Have you seen every boomer on a job site? Have you seen that? That TikTok audio?
We're rock hard. 93 rock, hard rock.
The hardest rock.
Hardest dudes, and they're rock hard.
I don't have TikTok.
I've been tagged in that because, you know, I've been doing my 93.5 bullshit.
Right.
That TikTok came out and everyone's like, holy shit, it's you. It's exactly what we've been talking about.
It sounds like it.
Yeah. So anyway. Sorry.
But what I really learned, like I was kind of getting to over the years, you know, with, I've always understood the wood, and, you know, you always understand this. We've tried everything under the sun. We're sharing some of that stuff back in the day, like smoke sticks and this and how we've hunted, you know, and
incense.
It's fun. It's fun just seeing all the gadgetry over the years and stuff. But the last 6 years, being on this property has been the longest. So the first couple of years was really just a lot of time sitting, a lot of time observing, getting lucky, getting close. I've seen the smaller ones. I started learning the property better and dialing in and figuring out where the quartering winds were, how they run across this property, because it runs east-west, and you got to go through an ag field to get to the woods, which sucked.
Yeah.
And that's east-west. So if you got a north wind, south wind, you're quartering it. So all my stands, I started having to move around that property, and I can't just move around like, you know, the woods that you got that you can see through with all the hedge trees and the honeysuckle underneath and stuff and how thick it is. He's got a massive trail system cut all through there. That's what he runs everywhere, but they're everywhere. But I've learned throughout that process of where those are at in a couple trees, and you almost have to move around. Then it takes a week to, you know, hacksaw a couple of those hedge trees to get a shooting lane, you know?
Yeah.
And, so
you have like a strong human intrusion factor on this property.
Yes. I got the most public private land there is.
Good way to put it. Exactly.
And, definitely. You know, cause, and he does. He, you know, it's like, oh, gosh, a couple weeks ago, his son's coming in and they're getting ready to run. I know they're going to run the whole property for a whole week, basically. Yeah, and miles and miles and miles. He's like, I ought to show you the app sometime and all the trails we run. I'm like, no, I really don't want to see it. Because I know every one of them by this stand, this stand, this stand, this stand, this stand.
I'm good, Frank.
But that's what I'm tied to because I can't even move 50 yards over. There's no tree to move. So a buck moves over 50 yards. I start seeing him cut that trail, you know, east to west, coming north to south, you know, cutting it. I can't move over 50 yards without spending another 3 months trying to cut one shooting lane, you know, with a hacksaw.
Yeah.
Because of all the hedge trees and stuff. So I've really learned from, actually, I've shifted from one side of the property to the other. I mean, but that was all part of the growing part and what I've learned, you know, through this community, through all of us chatting and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I started getting closer to where a couple of years ago, 2019, I had the best, worst season I've ever had. You know, I was into very nice bucks and multiple times pulled back on a buck called Quasimodo, had him there and, you know, I was hitting a branch. I couldn't drop enough. I was watching my pin bounce off the back of him. He was a dandy, you know, called Quasimodo because he has this freaking tumor on the sides, on his back.
Oh, yeah.
Looked like a beaver.
I remember you talking about that buck.
I remember. And he's huge. But yeah, I was sent the pictures. We did that in the OGs. I mean, we send so many and see so many different ones.
Yeah.
I didn't shoot a deer. I ended up blowing out my knee trying to shoot a doe. I was up in the saddle on the platform that year, and I was just rocking into that shot, and I heard this pow, and I ripped my meniscus out trying to shoot her. She heard it. Sounded like you broke a stick.
That's the first time I ever heard somebody break their knee from being so gay.
Yeah.
I went full blown gay. Stay out of that diaper.
Yep. Diaper paid off. Yep. Went full blown gay and snap. That's how you break it off, bitch.
Dude, that's wild. Yeah, that sucks.
So, yeah, I mean, it sounded like you broke a stick. I ripped my meniscus.
Jeans
injury by gay.
Well, that's the year we were scraping the box blind and figuring it out. Because after I had my surgery,
that's gay.
Real gay together. So then we were together in our diapers.
Right. That's right.
But
I'm kidding. I don't think you're gay if you hunt from a saddle because that's true. I'd be pretty dang gay right now.
Yeah.
The doctor just like, how'd you do that to your knee?
But you know what? Oh, yeah,
one of them sex swings.
At least I did something cool ripping out my knee. At least it was deer hunting, you know, not actually being gay.
Yeah. Not actually being on your knees.
Yeah, I'm on my knees. No, I love y'all gay.
But, did you have knee pads on?
Yep. No, I don't have the knee pads.
Tore it out dragging a 180 buck out or something. Yeah.
I love how Gene had to say, I love you, gays. we don't actually hate gays for the record. Like, doesn't affect us. But Gene was like, we're offending them. I have to say that I love you.
I love you, gays. That's because I heard that on him. One chill. Anyways, no knee pads, but I do have a knee pad.
You know what's sad? Casey, our gay friend, called me a gay for hunting out of a saddle. Like, I'd be hunting, she texts me, she's like,
she went wrong.
Oh, yeah, she's 100% accurate. She's like, what are you doing being gay, hanging in your saddle? And I'm like, damn it, Casey.
Casey rocks.
No, but yeah, I am.
It's fun, because when I was in the saddle, I found it funny, but when I was in a tree stand, I found it offensive, so.
Oh, heck. Yes. Anyways, I ripped out my knee. But it was that year that I really, that's when I started moving from one side of the property and figuring I got to be on the other side because of how the wind travels. And the Frank factor, there's no dose. And I learned that, like Mark was talking about earlier, I got to stay out of there in October.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, smart, yeah.
But I figured about October 25th is when I need to start getting in there. Last year I shot that one October 21st.
I can't believe you killed deer there.
Well,
with the Frank factor,
it's not easy, you know, and I'm still fighting it.
Is that where you killed your buck last year?
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
Yep.
That makes that buck even more impressive.
And it was fun. What was fun? And I was about ready to get down. If you guys remember, it was lightning. I went out that day. It was crazy. I'll tell it real quick. I went out that day and it was the perfect afternoon, you know, an east wind. I know that on an east wind, I love these field stands because the wind's blowing perfect that way. I can get to the edge of the property. And I can get into it with the wind blowing in my face, be right on the field edge. So if they're bedded down right over that hillside and in the woods where they all are, they're going to come back out at the feed, and I got the east wind to my advantage. So it's about the only way I can mitigate into that place. And so I can walk along that field edge. So I walked in, and right after I just got in the stand, I had no idea. Well, actually, I parked a truck. And I'm getting ready to get out and stuff, and these clouds just burst out of nowhere. Just started storming. I'm like, what the frick? I'm looking at my weather app. I'm like, well, hell with it. I'm here. And so I did. I marched out in the rain and stuff. I'm getting in the stand, and it was a nice little drizzle going. And it probably did that for about an hour, and that was fine.
Right.
Until the lightning started moving in. I'm like, I can hear that about 5 miles. I started counting it. I started counting the seconds. Got into about 2 seconds. So it's getting 2 miles, and it was right on top of me. I think it's about the fifth time I remember texting you guys and saying, dude, one more of these lightning strikes, and I'm out of this.
I'm out of here.
You know? Yeah, it's getting close. I'm not sitting in this metal. It's not worth it. It's pouring. I'm like,
stand on shitty expanded metal.
Yep. And I was up in this actually ladder stand that gets up to a hang-on stand. It's just perfect. You got to see this contraption.
What the fuck?
Hidden behind a tree.
I didn't know Nova setup, baby.
No, that's not very mobile, but it's Frank Factor, so it just stays.
Yeah. And, Frank Factor.
Yep.
Frank so, proof.
Right after I was doing that, and I was actually, I think I was getting ready to put my arrow into the quiver, and I look over to my left, and here he is, you know, walking out of there. He's walking through the bean field, real majestic and just beautiful, and he's a nice 8-point. He was a 145.8, and but he's walking in real majestic, starting taking bites of beans, coming up, chewing on them, just start shaking his muscles, and then, you know, shaking all the water off. It was awesome.
Yeah.
And came right in front of me about 18 yards, and nice shot, broadside. It couldn't have gone any more perfect. Literally, I blazed through him, and I had actually stopped. I remember looking down and like, what the heck just happened? Didn't even move. Didn't even twitch. I'm like, did I miss him? It blazed through him. It's these arrows. I love them. Micro diameter victories, man.
Just whipped right through him.
It zipped right through him. He just, poof. And then it was about 3 seconds later, he just walked real casually, 10 yards, stood there, and just did the pile down. And you just see this mist of air. And it was raining and stuff, and just, you know, I'm like,
no better feeling than that.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was beautiful. But, you know, so I started learning more how to get in, you know, to those areas and stuff. And
what's beautiful about that description is that animal, like, didn't know he was dead on his feet.
Oh, that
like,
quick.
Death by blackout.
Yep.
You know what I mean? He just passed out.
Yep. I remember that hunt. You were like, I'm getting the hell out of here.
Yeah,
I just shot one.
Yeah, I remember that.
And we're all like, what?
Sweet, what? Thought you were getting down, dude. I should have got out eight strikes ago.
I was thinking Gene's like, oh, lightning. I'm like, Gene, you bitch. You stay in that fucking stand. It's 20 minutes till dark, motherfucker. Stay in there. Come on.
It was about 45 minutes, and I'm like, screw it. But that lightning, I mean, it was poof, crash.
I hate that. I remember.
I hate it, too.
You know, and kudos to Frank. He's such a trooper, too, you know. It was pouring-ass rain. We go up. I knock, Frank. Yeah, you know, we celebrate. He gets his tractor out, and the pouring ass rain comes. We pick it up. He puts it in the truck for me. It was awesome. I mean, there in the field, and
easy, you know, he helps out.
The only time I've ever been like genuinely scared of lightning is when I was in Wyoming on the mountain.
Oh, no.
I was nervous.
I don't mess around with lightning.
Yeah,
I've never been nervous at it. Like at home, but up there, it's like different. I don't know. I feel like you're inside of it.
I'll tolerate it to a point, but when I figured, you know, I like that, you know, I'll live to hunt another day.
For sure.
And I'd rather, you know, it's like when you get in a dead tree, don't do that, you know, strap yourself in. There's all that stuff. Live to the hunt another day.
Mm-hmm.
So it was lightning. And that's why I started counting when it was 5 seconds out, you know, and then it got 4 seconds. It got two. And I'm like, I was on top of me. No, I'm holding metal. I'm sitting in metal. I'm all metal. I'm like,
what could go wrong?
Yeah. I'll kill a deer tomorrow, hopefully.
How many guys do you hear about getting zapped in a tree stand, though?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, and maybe you don't hear about them.
That's because they died.
Yeah.
You probably find me roasted in one.
Yep.
Facts are you don't get to do a lot of podcasts after you die.
None. You don't get to talk about it.
Right, so that's facts.
But fast forward to this
turns
year.
Turns out you never hear about it.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, so this year, you know, last year I kept ending, and well, and then if you remember, frick, we had those ice storms and stuff where then you had to walk on, like the ice had a cavity of air between that and the ground, like a foot, so you step on it, and then crunch, man, about break your legs.
Maybe Frank's on something with this cross-country
skiing. That's what he was. That's when he actually done it, you know, he's on like, top of that.
He's like, joke's on you.
No kidding, I told him, I said, you
great
know,
weather
Frank,
we're having.
I ought to borrow your cross-country skis and just, you know, like an e-bike and just cruise out on there.
Frank, let me get on your back, dude.
Sneak on into my stand on this cross-country skis.
Yeah.
But, Frank, give me a ride, bro.
Gene just jumps off quick when he goes by the stand.
Thanks, Frank.
Frank could have gave you a piggyback ride.
He probably would.
80 years old.
He's a brute, man. He
starts
neat.
Hitchhiking as he goes by.
Well, so this year, I'll fast forward it real quick. It's been a fun season already. You know, I'm still hunting a giant. And this guy, like I said, everything you shoot is a giant if you're happy with it. So don't get caught up on inches, folks. And so the beginning, I got a couple really nice ones I'm still after. Mm. And I've had multiple encounters that's been driving me nuts this season particularly. Mm. The 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th. Because I started getting in, actually the 20th, I try to stay out October, but I get...
It's hard.
I get giddy.
Yeah.
You know, I can't stand it. And, I'm like, I got the Frank factor anyways. What's the matter? I started going from there until November 15th. I didn't miss a day. And, you know, getting tired, a lot of encounters and wore out. But anyways, I had these real nice ones. I had three different encounters with. And the one, when he was coming in, I think you guys remember that. It was one of the morning hunts that was coming in. And he was just 20 yards out to my left. And he needed to step out about just probably 5 more feet, and he would have been out from underneath of all the umbrella of the hedge trees and everything. And no sooner than he was getting ready to take that step, I hear this whack, ruckus. Like, what the frick? And he took off like a bat out of hell right in front of me with a coyote hot on his ass. I've never seen that. I mean, really? Just chasing them. And they both ran up around that field and around the corner, you know, and it's like, that dog looked like he wanted to get him. And I don't know if he just scared that buck. And at the same time, you know, he snuck up. I still baffled by
mind
it.
Mind blown.
No shit.
The way they come ripping through that woods and he come ripping up around that corner, man, and up there and that dog just right on his ass. I was like, whoa. Dude,
coyote's got it coming, man. They don't even know it.
Yeah.
Coyote's got a herd of pain coming after him this winter.
Yep.
And I was surprised about that just because... That thing's a giant.
Yes.
Why in the world is a coyote chasing
right?
a giant? Yep.
That's what I thought. You wonder like what the end game is, because I feel like it's just too high of a risk for a coyote.
Oh, yeah.
I'm wondering, but maybe we're wrong. I was thinking, we were talking, you know, because the way I could see and the way he was coming in, I don't know if the coyote was running up and he scared him and the buck took off and then the coyote reacted to that and started just chasing him or whatever. But, man,
that's
and
weird.
What sucks is my camera was right there and I didn't have my card in it because I already pulled it. And when I left, I pulled it and didn't have one to put back in it.
Mm.
You know, one of those deals, I'll get it when I go back in there and never did. And I'm like, frick, didn't have it on that camera.
right.
But
fuck coyotes, for the record.
Oh, they're dead. Well, now I found out, too, I got a... bobcat problem.
Illinois got to change something.
Oh boy,
dude,
oh boy.
I feel like everyone I talk to, they got bobcats, and they got a lot of them. I have, I think, a minimum of 3, and one's a fucking giant. Mm-hmm. The one I videoed,
right? Yeah.
That's the biggest bobcat I've ever seen on film.
That's a big cat
in Illinois.
I don't know how to judge them. I mean, I saw the 3 that actually the other night, and I showed you guys. The one climbed up my tree.
I'm judging mine off like from the spine to the belly.
Mm-hmm.
Like Casey, our fellow gay friend, and I saw the same day, and she filmed hers. I filmed mine because you can't shoot them.
Yeah.
And mine's like mountain lion proportion, like thickness on the spine.
Good ground clearance.
Yeah, hers was like slender.
Mm-hmm.
Mine doesn't have good ground clearance. Mine's like low belly to the ground and like thick bodied.
Right, so it's heavy.
You can't shoot them at
thick
all here.
Bitch.
No.
Not that I'm aware of. You have to draw a tag.
Lottery.
Yeah.
It's a lottery.
Yeah. I drew one last year. I had a permit.
You did?
Yeah, I had one last year.
I had one 2 or 3 years ago.
Yep.
Really?
The second year or the third year that they
drew one.
I'm putting in. When do you put in?
Before
September,
I think
28th or something, or 9th.
To draw them when?
October.
Oh, it's that short of a draw.
It's like right there, and then they send you the mail-in card, because then the season's not, I think it's a little later, and then November or something.
It doesn't start till November?
I can't remember what the dates were, because I got, last year was the first time I got one of the lottery draws. And
it's pretty much while you're out bow hunting, though.
Yeah,
I think it's later October through November and farther.
I'll have to check what Iowa is.
You can shoot them after a certain date, right?
I think it's just fur bearers tag, but I think certain counties you can't shoot them. I think it goes by county.
Yeah.
But I think you just need a fur bearer's license.
Gotcha.
I'm going to look it up while you guys are. Too. You got to check which county it's open.
I don't even know if you're a landowner.
When you go on the IDNR website, you look it up and see which counties are open, and then you apply. you send in $5 for a permit, and then
it's only $5.
Yeah, it's $5 to get the to get into the lottery drawing, and then you find you got to look did online later.
I thought I didn't have to pay until unless I killed, and then I would pay and get the.
No, that's how they're making the money. Yeah. Everybody that gets into the drawing pays $5.
There's gonna be a lot of people that disagree with what I'm about to say,
and then you get. Once you get drawn, shouldn't you look lottery. It up online to see if you were successful in drawing the permit, and then they mail you a piece. It's a postcard size cardboard with you've been successful to drawing the bobcat permit. So then you carry that with you, and if you harvest one, then you have to call and report it. And when you report it, then they'll send you a sites tag, like one of these tags right here, and then you have to poke a hole in its gums and then stick it from its upper lip, the tag through the eye skin and attach it around the skin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So I say let the tags be, you know, put a quota on it, but I'd pay $150 to get a bobcat tag. Like if I wanted to buy it over the counter.
Yeah.
Well, purchase a tag like a deer tag.
Purchase
tag,
it, but make it
a different price.
Make it a premium price
because they only give 500, I think, away in a lottery or something like that. There's a number, you could raise the limit a little bit.
I thought the first year it was 5,000 people could get into the drawing.
I didn't think it was that much.
And then it wasn't that many permits, but it was 5,000 people that got into the drawing, but only like 500 or 300 permits were issued across the state of Illinois.
Yeah.
See, I feel like it's just getting. They're getting more and more and more and more common. I think just less people are trapping, less people are predator hunting.
They
Well, they were, what was it? We were trying to think, was it 50 years or something? I think it was like,
I was originally saying, that the season in Illinois was closed for 25 years, but Gene thought it was 50. So I don't
think it goes back to the 70s.
So 50
years ago, you guys were what, 35?
Yeah.
1971.
So Iowa, it's open November 6th to January 31st for bobcat.
But
the bobcat has a asterisk by it, so you got to see the note or whatever.
What the big print says, a small print.
It says fur harvesters must contact a conservation officer within 24 hours of taking an otter or a bobcat to receive a sites tag.
Mm-hmm. Like that.
Mm-hmm. And then it says,
does that mean they have to come out and see it and then give you the tag?
They don't come look at it.
I'll send it to you.
And it says, see Iowa hunting, trapping, and migratory bird game regulations for more information on bobcat zones and harvest restrictions. So there must be like
tag or
certain zones, and then zones you might not be able to trap them, or you might not be able to shoot them.
Some are open for trapping. And they, you know, they'll print out 500 of these sites tag right here.
A sites tag is?
Yeah, it's kind of like this. It could be one of those metal ones. Like, remember our old deer tags?
Yep. Check-in stations.
But I think these days they're plastic like this. And so they print 500 of them because that's how many they're going to give away. So when you call, then they send that out to you and they take that off their list. Mm. Now we only have 400, you know.
Right.
I read the results after the first season, and I think they gave out like 500 tags and only like 271 bobcats were killed in Illinois that year.
Really?
It was, don't quote me on those numbers because that's not right. But
right, I know what you're saying,
underutilized. Yeah. I mean, they need more open season on them.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. Gina, what else you want to tell about this buck, man? I know you were stoked about it. The emotions were running high.
He was fun. And you guys know, but most everybody else don't know. I'm pretty hardline traditional. When I boycott stuff, I boycott stuff. When I do stuff, I'm hard-headed.
But I like that, man. I think that's cool.
And last year, after I killed that buck, October 21st, and then it was because part of my hardline thing is every episode since episode one, I've listened in order. I think maybe four I've deviated in like T-bone, a couple of ones that I just one or two. I usually don't stay within four or five out of, you know, so.
And thank you for that.
You're welcome. Well, you guys are awesome. Anyways, so I don't deviate, you know, and you guys talked about one time on one of the shows about your quivers and, you know, superstitions and stuff like that. And you're putting your number one arrow in, maybe I'm going to pull number two and that'll change my luck, you know, like that. And, I always use my number one arrow. It just stays in there. It comes out. I never deviate. Yeah. I got my weird little things too. And so last year after that buck is when I heard the episode about Clyde, and that's then when I made my Clyde arrow. So that became my number one arrow. And I always pull that out all last year throughout the rest of the season. I pull it out. All right, Clyde, let's do it, buddy. You know, and I put it back in there. And then, you know, I cherish that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I put it back in my quiver. So this year, starting the season again, back. All right, Clyde, here we are. However, now I got Papa Dave in my number two spot, you know, and then he's been a good friend that we've learned and met over the years and stuff, you know, and always gravitated to. And so I've been at it and been at it and all these frustrations, having these big bucks and all these different encounters and not getting a shot. And, you know, like Mark says, you know, I'm getting frustrated.
Yeah.
But however, excuse me, you know, so it got to about November 15th. It was an east wind. I walk in, I had my Frank Factor and talked to him real quick. And he's like, yep, east wind. That's a good time. I love the east wind in that field stand for a reason. So I go in, it was a perfect night, and I'm sitting there, and I remember right when I got in the stand, I said, you know what, I'm going to change my tradition a little bit. And I text you guys, I said, I want to hunt some of the rut with Papa Dave this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm going to do that. I've always done this, you know, with Clyde. He's still going to be me, but I want to hunt some of the rut and dedicate this season to Papa Dave.
Yeah.
And so I did. I pulled that arrow out, and I put Clyde. I said, Clyde, we're still hunting, buddy. And maybe you think that's weird, but I do that. I talk to my arrow.
You know how many times I kiss my Papa Dave arrow before I put it on the rest?
Yeah. You know,
every time.
I love the nature and the spirit of it and everything. It's just, you know,
the ringer.
Yeah, bringing in the ringer. So Papa Dave's
we're coming out of the wood.
Whether I saw it or not, you know, it didn't matter, but I wanted to just share some of that with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, just respect. And so I put that arrow in. And right after that, I had this doe come out to my left in the field, you know, and everything's perfect because the wind, when it's blowing out of the east, I have everything behind me and a couple shot holes that I got through the hedge trees, and I'm right on the edge, and the front is all cornfield. And she came out to my left and had all those little blackbirds of tens of thousands that come in and do the whole nice little dance and wave. Mm-hmm. Just started spooking her, and they do their dance, she'd do her dance back. They moved in, it's kind of pushed her back in the woods. I'm like, you know, I would have shot the doe.
Yeah.
Birds.
You're flipping birds.
For the birds, yep.
And, hey, Doug will get mad at you. He's a bird watcher, you know.
Yeah. I would like to see that.
Just start shooting at all those blackbirds in there, man.
Just block shots. Yep.
Just pot shotting.
Just Doug's pissed.
Bird rut.
Yep. Pot shot Doug.
Bird rut.
The bird rut, baby.
Really, I'd like to see the
all
bird.
All their sets.
Should do a photo for the bird.
Yeah.
This is best day ever.
I'm gonna go live.
Yeah. Go live.
Live.
Look at all these birds.
Doug's just like,
it's your boy.
Sky busting Doug. Pot shot Doug.
It's your boy. These fucking birds.
I hope everyone listening is just like not laughing while we're laughing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because they know we're fucking idiots.
They're just like, yeah, this is the last podcast we're going to listen to.
Right.
So these birds chase that doe back in there, you know, and it was no sooner that I looked back from over here, I looked to my right, and I still don't know where he came from. I mean, you have to understand the terrain, the field, and the field next to me, the hay field.
Sometimes they just plan on sneak up on
you. Just from the wham, woods. Like he just dropped out of somewhere. But it was about 90 yards out when I first saw him and stuff. And I looked, I'm like, nah, that's one of them smaller bucks, you know. And I looked out, and then I grabbed the binoculars, and I looked, and I saw his little, you know, split on the G2 on that side. And I thought, well, maybe he's a little bigger than I thought, you know. And I thought maybe Pope and Young, and it didn't matter. Then I went in this kill mode, and all of a sudden it just felt magical and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the way he came walking in, and I got to walk in this field a certain way along that. And I usually cut in because if they are going to pop out of the corner of that field, when they come up those trails and pop out, I don't know, I just feel weird walking around that corner of that field stand that they're going to smell my scent away and not even come out, because I've watched them come out, the little ones, start sniffing, go right back in.
Mm-hmm.
So I always cut in about 30 yards and I walk over and cut into my stand. Because anytime I walk in anyways, if they're bedded there, it don't matter how I enter, they're gone. Mm-hmm. And all I can do is wait for them to come back up. It's the only way I can get into the place.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why I've learned, you know, which side I got to go into, depending on the winds, which stand I'm going to go to, based on the winds, because the way they quarter and where I'm going to hunt, or, you know, because I can't move. You know, all I can do is move from the seven different locations.
The Frank Factor.
Yep, the Frank Factor. So he came in, and it started smelling. It's like, I don't know, he started smelling that path. Mm-hmm. And he started coming over. I'm like, well, son of a gun, he's coming straight. He did, and he walked straight to 18 yards, quartering away just a little bit. I took the shot, and I just lost it. I mean, I just broke mm-hmm. down and cried and started sending you guys, I think mm-hmm. I just shot a buck, you know. Didn't even matter. Mm-hmm. And he literally, when I first laid onto it, I just saw this pool of blood. I hit him right behind the heart. He went actually right out the chest. It was quartering a little bit.
Yeah.
And all I could see was just boom. I'm like, I immediately knew that he was oh,
yeah.
gone.
Yeah, yeah.
Took off running, blood everywhere, made it about 40 yards and just did the nose dive right at the edge of the woods. You know, another right one of those there, nice yeah. recoveries with Frank and,
yeah.
and you know, I
get the tractor.
You know,
ready.
I'm walking up to it. I'm getting ready. I'm trying to get ready to snap a picture. And the same thing as last year. Phone died, you know, no battery life. I couldn't get no pictures. I'm like, what the frick?
We're messaging him like, where the fuck, Gene?
I literally was getting excited. I'm like, here's the blood trail. I'm walking up.
It's an Android.
You kidding me? Yep. Yeah. Sending you dream down. Text. So I go up and I knock on the door, you know, and I tell you what, it was the most beautiful sunset and everything mm-hmm. at night. If you can remember, I took pictures of it. It's just, mm-hmm. it was amazing. But I get Frank and I knock on the door, and, you know, and
Frank,
and,
get your tractor ready, old son of a bitch.
You know, he's awesome.
He's got a sticker on his GT, bud.
Yep, he gets his coveralls on and give me 10 minutes. He goes out, gets the tractor, you know, and.
I just like how every time you say Frank, you put an emphasis on it, like, Frank.
Frank. Don't get me wrong. I love him.
I had to go get Frank.
You know, he lets me hunt her for free.
I picture him like a Bob Ross type character.
Yeah.
Well, minus the curly hair.
Minus the curly hair.
Yeah. Minus the curly hair. Tall, skinny.
Hey, Frankie Payton.
Happy little clouds.
Happy trees.
Nice mistakes. There are no mistakes.
Some happy birds.
Little birds here with these magic mountains, you know, happy mistakes.
God damn. Okay, Frank.
So Frank, I get Frank, and, you know, my phone's dead. I'm charging real quick, waiting for him, you know, get 10 minutes, and he brings out this one of those old 35 millimeter in the leather case cameras. I mean, the thing's probably 50 years old. I got 3% charge, I think, finally on my phone, enough for him to get a picture with his finger in it. I said that. Kirk's like, can you send me a picture without his finger in the way, you know? Like, that's all I got, man.
Flash is orange because it blew through Frank's flesh.
So, yeah.
Let's get some photos.
You know, he didn't hit 125. I think we scored him at dead and 7/8. And,
yeah, he's dead and 7/8.
Dead and 7/8. 113 something, you know.
Dead and 7/8.
11, a little 11 point. I love him. He stud 2.5. But
it's awesome.
Yeah, dead and 7/8 is hilarious.
Dead and 7/8. That's a Brad Howard one. Yeah. He told me that one. I love that.
That's awesome.
You know,
that's
people good, say, yeah. yeah.
It's a good buck, Gino.
3-4 more years? Absolutely. Yep. Would have been a freaking
Would have been a hammer.
I loved
dude.
It. I loved every moment yeah. of it.
Shouldn't have shot him, Gino. Should have been, would have been a monster, too. No, fuck all that.
Yep.
It's about the experience.
You know, yeah. And at first, I did that. And
you see, Trev from Outdoor Drive just shot a spike.
Right. Yeah. Two pointer.
Yeah.
So, two pointer. And I was going to say something. Yeah.
11 pointer. Yeah.
And I was going to say, I started, you know, for a moment, because I started getting into the bigger bucks, and you can really get caught up in that. There ain't no bullshit about that, you know?
Yep.
And don't, because...
Dude, Gino, the second buck I shot this year is not a ton bigger than that.
No, it don't matter, but people do get caught up in that negativity. Blah, 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 you know, don't. I started, you know, at first I'm like, I don't think he's as big as I thought he was. And then I started going through, and I'm like, you know what? No, stop. Mm-hmm. It was the magic and the fun and the enjoyment of it. Don't get caught up. And I did. I enjoyed it, you know?
That's all that matters.
Instead of, you know... What I'm trying to say, don't get caught up in that. And mm-hmm. people do enjoy and love what you got it, you mm-hmm. know, and what you shot. And
yeah,
absolutely.
It's about being out there. And like I said, I know what I got out there, and I'm still going to hunt, and I'm still mm-hmm. trying to play that game and, mm-hmm. and beat the wind. We know the strategy, and it's tough.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And, but
we're old. Our days are numbered, man. Shoot what you can.
Yep. My family's eating. Beef prices are going up. So
yeah, you ain't wrong. And I love your appreciation for life in general is very refreshing.
Absolutely.
And I feel like it reminds us all a little bit to like, appreciate shit that you sometimes overlook appreciating. Yeah. I mean, we appreciate it, right? But like, do you really slow down and appreciate certain things, you know?
Yep. Take a breather and appreciate
it. We all get caught up in it, man, and especially with the crap that's going on. It's
easy to get caught up in it, you know?
This whole last year has been tough for me. I ain't going to bull. I mean, I'm walking away. I walked away from a job. I struggled with some mental issue things. I haven't talked about it. I don't share and stuff like that. And, you know, and when you grab a bow in your hand and you get out in that woods, I mean, I call it 20 feet closer to God, and just seeing what you can see out there, the squirrels, the birds, the bobcats. I don't even, so many times now, and that I relax. Yeah. It grounds me and it brings me back to the here and now, you know.
Well, imagine not having bow hunting.
Mm. Right.
You know what I mean?
Outside of the bees,
dude, you ain't kidding, Mark.
Like, outside of the bees that I just recently discovered, I don't know. I don't know what other hobby would have absolutely just brought my attention.
Well, dude, think about it, man. Like, my dad and I were so into bow hunting. That was our thing. And it's like, it's the only thing that, like, really kept me sane.
Yep.
You know, it's like, you know, there was a period where it wasn't bow season, of course. So, and, you know, whatever, what do you do? But, like, it kept me sane, and you know what I mean? It's one of those things.
But actually it did, even outside that season, then, you know.
Well, we never quit, right?
Yeah, never quit, but
the podcast keeps
the
us.
Fun of it.
The podcast makes it always feel like it's bow season. Yeah, like, absolutely. The hunting camp camaraderie is here every week, all the time. Like, that's a beautiful, that honestly, without this podcast and bow hunting, I don't know mentally where I'd be. Probably in some trouble.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know what would inspire me. Yeah.
So let me say that. We've talked
about
that.
Gotta be inspired, man. So I got it tattooed on my knuckles,
exactly,
man.
Exactly, dude.
That's why a lot of people, for the record, people always ask what's on my knuckles. It says inspired.
Well, when it's your whole entire life and that's all you think about and it's all you do and it's all you do 365, if it was taken away the next day, I don't know what I'd do.
Yep.
And I watch my dad getting older and I can see it coming to an end, you know, and it's...
Well, and I alluded to that earlier, you know, about really learning how to hunt the last 6 years. And it was a meeting, you know, 6 years ago, we were out at Loud Thunder at the very first shoot and meeting for the first time and having a good time. And then it just went from there, you know. I marked to, hey, listen to these guys, man. It's on episode two. It's my intern that I have there, you know. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I gave him a chance. Didn't know what a podcast was. We just started, and it just started growing. Watching families grow and, you know, kids being born and the community it builds and stuff, you know. So
my dog.
I broke it. Yeah. Doug's dog.
Ducks, Doug's banged some hot chicks in the meantime. Yeah.
Hey, Doug bought a house.
So I was thinking, you know, had I not met you guys and all that, I've never done a 3D shoot. I would still be stuck with a pendulum sight and my whisker biscuit. And, you know, I would have never broke out of certain boxes, I think. Mm-hmm. And then listen to certain stuff that I thought started thinking of hunting differently than I was doing before, and just that progression to, like I said, over the years I've been in different places, I've seen nice bucks, I've never gotten into the game of them like I have over the last couple of years, and more intensely in how I think things. Mark and I talk about different stuff, and we've done so many things over the years, and you know, we've known each other for what, 40 years, 39, we're trying to figure it out. And
you guys are real old.
Yeah.
Since you guys were like 35.
Old. Yeah.
Yeah. No.
But, you know, established friendships like that.
35 plus 40 years
plus 40,
adds up to your age.
We forget. Where's the Geritol? My pudding.
That's dementia.
Prune juice, it's your thing now. Yep. You guys have that in common?
Whopper at 4:30.
Butterscotch, you guys are both into that.
Yeah. And blue chew.
Things in common. Great farts, the butterscotch pudding. Yeah. Smells so good.
Yeah, things are going great for you guys. Yeah. For your age, you guys look awesome.
You guys are incredible for your age.
Yeah. But, you know, back to that point and stuff, and you look at that and how it's grown, and, you know, you can go anywhere, find someone in a camouflage hat, and start striking up a conversation. And
100%.
out of nothing, and it doesn't matter. Tell a few lies, show a few pictures, walk away, and, you know, you got a buddy.
My wife hates it.
Yeah,
mine too.
In an aisle, farm and fleet, you know.
Gene, I think it's funny, like, I appreciate you supporting us, everything we do, but I feel there's a lot of guys your age and Mark's age that I'm only reason why I think of this because I just saw a few comments in our group, like, I don't know if you guys saw that thread in the last couple of days. Someone's like, I tried listening to the podcast, and I'm so used to, like, these, welcome to the podcast, today we're talking about how to hunt scrape lines. And it's just, like, hard-lined, like,
topics.
It's almost like an ebook.
Bulletin right. points and this yeah. and that.
And they're like, I thought it was just a bunch of assholes on a mic and I turned it off. Well, right. yeah, probably at first that's what we sound like. But like you have to tap into it because we're just doing what buddies do.
Yeah, right.
You
yeah.
know? Yeah. But I feel like shit. A lot of guys who say that are guys in your age bracket that...
Mm-hmm.
And nothing, I'm not, nothing against you guys, but I'm giving you guys props when I say this. It's like, mm-hmm. you guys have been around a lot longer, you're older than us, but they're just like, they don't want to give it a chance because we're younger and they don't right. get that. It's like, no, we're into the same things. We have the same camaraderie, the same hunting
yeah.
camp. Like,
yeah.
we're joking around, but we're also going to learn, like, I you think the ground blind discussion, somebody. All that yeah. stuff. Yeah, right.
You got to learn from each other.
But it also, it's like not every hunting podcast has to be this fucking formally educational yeah. bullshit.
Boring.
Right? Nope. That gets old.
Yeah.
Have fun. You can listen. If you can be at work and listen to hunting content that entertains you and makes you laugh while you yeah. work, and it's not always like... My grandfather invented this rattling antler fucking thing.
You must do it this way. Like, if you yeah. don't do it this way, you'll never do it this way.
Right. Yeah, yeah, it's just like, man, let's have some fun.
Right.
That's what it's about. Yeah. It's about having fun.
You wouldn't
fun.
Have close to 500 episodes if you didn't do it, yeah. you know, if you yeah. were that way.
Well, we're passionate about it, right?
Chill the shit out yeah, and freaking laugh.
Kick back right. and pop a couple blue chews.
Take
you know?
Her take yeah. her easy, bud.
Right. Get a boner for once and have a good time. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Get a woods boner.
Yeah, get a woods boner. Increases blood flow. Makes you think clearly. Relax.
Get your heart not down, Jesus.
All right. Help me stay awake and I stand.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, you got a boner, but your heart's racing.
Yeah. Have you a good know. Time.
Good. Buy looser pants.
Stand and get away in the ropes and the carabiners.
Right.
Hey,
right.
Waistband that thing, Jesus. Yeah, waistband Christ. That thing.
Yeah. Grow up.
Tie. Hard not to break your boner when you're swinging around a saddle like a homo.
You know what? I just thought of that. That might be a good
that
strategy.
Was too far. Yeah, I'm sorry for that.
Yeah. That was too I was going to say, yeah, it might be a good strategy for all day sits. Sit with a boner in that way when you're piled on a bunch of layers. It's a little easier to take a piss.
That's what I do.
Easier to take a piss when it's cold out.
Here, birdie.
Hey, at least you can see past your bino harness that yep. way. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
I won't do it. I won't hit the, no, I will. Fooled you guys.
Got him.
Yeah, fuck you guys. Huh? There it is again. What's up? I need a different button. Yeah, take that thing away from me. Put tape over that. Well, boys, it's fun.
Yeah, it's a good one. A good
I vote for guys. More old man podcasts.
Yeah, yeah.
Can it's we fun sit around.
Well,
BS
hopefully, we'll kill some more
guys.
Before end of season. We can do
I'm going
again.
To. I mean, I'm going back out tomorrow.
Good
for things yeah. I had. I got. Oh, I was sick for a couple weeks. I mean, I literally slept for 10 days with the COVID. And,
yeah, you were out.
Yeah, right after I killed this one. I mean, I hung it, and mm-hmm. 4 days later, took it to the butcher because then I started getting sick, and then that head literally sat in the garage, probably stinking for 2 weeks. I couldn't do nothing.
Couldn't clean
but
it.
But then I couldn't smell, and I couldn't taste. I'm like, this is a good day to work on this.
Perfect.
It worked out good. So I couldn't tell if it stunk
picking
or
meat
not.
Off and eating it.
Yeah. I think we need to do like
a good deal.
You know what? I am going to
man edition podcast.
I'm going to give you a pro tip, though. I learned this today. Do not pressure wash the son of a gun right next to your truck in the gravel. All that greasy fat and stuff comes flying. It's caked yeah. all over the side of my truck. I went to the car wash. It's baked on. Hey, dude. It's not coming off.
I always
off.
Take the skull to a yeah. car wash.
Right?
Yeah. At the quick wash, putting $25.
Throw it up right. in the floor mats clips.
Yeah. That's a good idea, actually. Yeah.
Right?
Pin it up there and just pressure wash it.
I like it. Just I like it.
Hang out the window with it.
Yeah.
Well, Gino, you got anything to add? Any shout outs? Anything else?
No, man. Keep doing what you guys are doing. End with the positive season. Everybody keep doing what you're doing. Love one another. Stop the bull crap.
Love it. You can say bullshit on the podcast.
I know. I just yeah, bullshit.
Thank you.
No, well.
Hey, hold on. Take it easy, Gene.
You're out, Gene.
Take it easy.
You know. You
old guys are crazy. My old
guys are getting nuts up in this place.
Gene's cussing. Mark's drinking a beer. What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, you guys both have boners. I'm weirded out.
Great. Take my night pills, blood pressure. No.
Dude, I'll make sure Joe Biden makes the next one, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, let's go, Brandon.
Nice.
Mark, your eyes, what you got?
Oh, man. I'm looking at the bone. On the table. Glad all of us got it done this year.
Congrats.
It's not
everybody.
Every year that happens. So
that's true.
Yeah.
It's been fun going through watching everybody be successful.
Got one member left in the crew to get
Ross.
It done.
Yeah. Ross. Yep. Ross time.
Group photo. Late season.
When that happens, we got to get done. A group photo with all our
yeah. Yeah. That'd be sweet.
Yep. Got to do it.
Ross will do it. He's the man. Yep.
He will.
Oh, yeah.
He will.
Yep.
Doug.
I got nothing.
Birds.
Birds.
Birds. Yeah,
birds the word.
I'm good.
Go shoot your bow. We love you.
Hell yeah.
once in a while, it's fun to go like just full-blown redneck on these fish. This is like high-tech cane pole fishing right here.
From the white sandy beaches to the crystal blue waters, enjoy the best fishing Panama City Beach has to offer during Chasing the Sun. Sundays at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV, the destination for outdoor entertainment.